Marin. It's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, you people. How's it going out there? Nice to talk to you. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley sitting right next to me.
Good morning.
Here looking over the news for the day. If that's important to you at all, the news of the day important at all? Or are you over there looking over those numbers that keep coming up on the blog? You know, what's the unsubstantiated numbers, trying to put them all together? It's nice. Thank you for all the emails. Appreciate what you're saying. And look, you know, I'm just trying to work out my own feelings about everything. All I know is that I went to the dentist yesterday after a year and a half of not going to the dentist. And,
must have hurt.
A strange mixture of that I feel often on this show of guilt and contempt for the person cleaning my teeth. You know, because I knew it was my fault that I hadn't been there in a year and a half. So I was like, I'm sorry. I know it's going to be a lot of work. And then once that scratching started on my teeth, then I was like, what's wrong with you, bitch? Come on.
Was it
take
water?
Care of what's going on?
Did they use water on you?
Huh?
Did they use that thing with water?
There's no water, Mark. She had to excavate in my gums and on my teeth. I had a year and a half's worth of tartar and cigar gook stuck on my teeth.
And did you bleed?
I don't know. I might have bled, but the problem was, is like, she did a great job. I appreciate it, but man, did I hate her by the end of my session. I thought that I was being punished. I thought she was punishing me. And I had the same love-hate sort of, you know, like, I'm sorry, you know, to hell with you kind of feeling about, you know, about a lot of the emails I'm getting, about a lot of what's going on out there in the world. Do you know what I mean, Mark Riley? You know, look, it's like, look, if there's no context for your truth, if, like, you're no better than Republicans. I mean, Republicans demonize all media that says anything against them. So now we have liberals and progressives demonizing everything as being part of the GOP, as being part of the sort of like, hey, man, you're just taking the party line. I don't care. There is no party line. I'm not taking any party line when it comes down to, you know, voter fraud or election fraud, as I should say. There is no party line. The line is, when we get substantiated numbers, we'll report on it. But I think that, you know, a lot of you people are driven by fear, and you can go ahead and do that. You know, you can go ahead and think you're being courageous, but you're driven by fear. And, you know, I'm like, as I said yesterday, if the numbers come in, you want to go to blackboxvoting.org and give money. I did. Do that. You want to keep up on all the investigations, do that. When the numbers become substantiated, I will report it and deal with it. But right now, I'm just, you know, I'm aggravated that, you know, in some levels, you know, we can't move on the dialogue. And I know that I've been, you know, I've been sort of hitting on this, but, you know, if you're accusing my show of not dealing with this, we've dealt with it. We deal with it every day. Just because we're not going to placate your anger and fear, you know, through obsessive covering.
By dealing with it for 3 hours a day.
That's fine. Go wherever you want to get that. That's cool. There's a lot of other things going on. I just think that on some level, you know, if there's no context for your information, there's no context for what is reporting and what is not reporting, and you just want to, you know, call names and, you know, and sort of make accusations, you're no better than Republicans. And a lot of you are just being babies. You know what I mean? I mean, the truth of the matter is that, you know, there's still a lot of things going on. You know, John Ashcroft is leaving.
Ashcroft, Don Evans.
You know what's weird, though, Mark Riley? I haven't heard nothing about terrorism in the last week. You know what I mean? What about that big smoke screen? What about the fact that, you know, what? Is terrorism no longer an issue now that they're not talking about it?
You talking about domestic terrorism or just terrorism in general? Because there's some people, members of Iraqi Prime Minister Iyad Alawi's family who know terrorism up close and personal. Three of them have been kidnapped today.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that's going on in the news. As you point out, John Ashcroft, lightning rod for all the love of the conservatives and the hate of a lot of other people, is stepping down. You know, that gallbladder thing of his that he went through before has kind of gotten him to the point. And it's interesting that, you know, Don Evans, the Commerce Secretary, also decided to step down. And apparently Bush's letter to Evans was a lot warmer than the letter to the letter that he sent to Ashcroft. But now speculation is surrounding who is going to take Ashcroft's place. There are three major contenders.
Who's that?
One is Larry Thompson, black guy, former number two to Ashcroft. The other is Alberto Gonzalez, who's the special counsel to the White House.
Uh-huh.
And Mark, your good friend Mark Roscoe.
Uh-huh. I hate that guy.
Yeah, well, he may be your attorney general, so he may be the object of your hate.
Yeah.
But that's what's going on. That's among the things that are going on this morning. And, of course, Yasser Arafat, as last we heard, is still clinging to life. Mm-hmm. Even as they talk about whether or not they're going to bury him on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very strange and bizarre set of circumstances. And there's also an ongoing campaign, which we'll talk about later today, to deny Arlen Specter the chairmanship of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Yeah, I also want to encourage people to run for office. I want to encourage people to get involved on a local level. I want to, you know, say that, you know, where there wasn't voter fraud or election fraud, sorry, don't want to alienate the language people. Where there wasn't election fraud, races, like, you know, legislative races in 44 states, Democrats wrested control of two state general assemblies from the GOP, as well as a total of eight chambers. That ain't for nothing. I guess those numbers were right. Democrats won the majority of seats nationally after Republicans seized bragging rights in that department 2 years ago for the first time since 1952. Democrats won control of the North Carolina and Vermont houses and the Washington and Oregon Senates and both chambers of the Colorado legislature. Well, I guess in some places the electoral process, you know, does work when people are involved on that level. Senates in Iowa and Montana, which have been controlled by Republicans, are now tied. Good news! There are elections coming up in 2006. Maybe we should start mobilizing in that direction. Or not. Or maybe we can just insist for the rest of time that we won this election. That would be good. Why don't we do that? Even when it's proven, you know, and hopefully I'll eat my words. I would love to eat my words right here in front of you. I would love to eat my words and then get an email and say, maybe you say something like this. Me and all of my friends, I like that about, you know, little cowards in the dark that send emails, you know, that they can't just say, I have a problem. They have to go, me and all of my friends. Oh, really? So you are the spokesperson for this large group of people that gets together, you know, once or twice a week and makes decisions about what you like and you don't like? What a sad indication of who you are. Why don't you get your own personality? How would that be? Why don't you try that, douche? Anyways, full of contempt, Riley, full of contempt. So, you know, there's a lot of ways that we're going to try to start mobilizing people around the Democratic Party and try to start mobilizing people in the direction of, you know, Senate races, congressional races, and, you know, other stuff like that to start, you know, making a difference in the House. I don't know if that's important to you. I guess it probably isn't, since it doesn't matter if we can't get this electoral system working properly, which hopefully we will. Your idea is to federalize it, right?
It has to be federalized, in my judgment, in order for it to work well on a national level. And I believe that federalization should start in the 2006 election. All 435 seats in the U.S. House of Representatives are up. And remember, they don't use a different voting booth or a different voting machine in the off-year elections they do in the on-year elections. So 2 years from now, these same machines will be used unless somebody does something. You want to do something? Stop that.
Mm-hmm.
Stop people from using the same machines that are so flawed or were so flawed in this past election. Stop them from electing the House in 2 years.
We're trying to do that.
I think that's what I'm saying.
I think that's what a lot of this, you know, this fight is about, is getting rid of these machines.
Yeah.
I hope that's what it's about.
Well, that fight has to take place on a state and local level first, okay? And then you have to say to people who are running for those seats in the United States House of Representatives, we will not back you unless you are prepared to federalize, at least provide some federal oversight of these elections.
Well, hopefully that's what a lot of this is about. I'm sorry I've not been, you know, on the pulse of the blogosphere in terms of, you know, every time I get dispatches about numbers and evidence of wrongdoings, I get a dispatch two emails later that says, well, we can't quite validate this. You know, maybe we should talk to someone at MIT or somebody who knows better. You know, I would just like to have some hard evidence in terms of, you know, being able to report something instead of just speculating. Of course, I want things to be changed. Of course, I want it to be fair. But if we, you know, my whole argument is that if this becomes the dialogue for the next 3 years, and then, you know, all we got to offer on the next election cycle is, we were screwed on the last one, you know, what difference does it all make? And that's the only, and nothing has been mobilized on a local level, and we can't do what Colorado did, or what, you know, North Carolina, Vermont, until
balance of power is what you're looking to say. If one of the things you have to say about the entire process is that 4 years ago, this country was going through the same thing. There were tens of thousands of black people and others who were disenfranchised in the state of Florida. It took 2 years and a bunch of hearings before anybody could come up with anything concrete about what took place. And you know what the net result was?
What?
Not a hell of a lot.
Why?
because people didn't stay with it.
Right.
See, people get their anger off in the first 15, 20 minutes. Nobody made an issue. There was not a single person in the United States Senate who had to pay for the fact that nobody would stand up for those disenfranchised black voters on the floor of the Senate. Not one.
Yeah.
Not from anybody. Not from anybody black. Not from anybody white. So the bottom line is, if you want, you can have all the anger in the world. You can deny that so-and-so won the election. Fine. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Because the last time when people expected folks to stand up, they didn't do it.
Yeah. So let's come back and talk about the departure of John Ashcroft. You know what? You know, let's save that. And why don't we talk about, you know, what went on in Fallujah?
What's going on in Fallujah?
You know, what we lost, you know, 10 GIs, which is, you know, horrible. Tomorrow is Veterans Day.
That's right.
Alawi's family has been kidnapped. Arafat's about to die. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the world, and I haven't heard anything about domestic terrorism since the election. Coincidence? I think not. We'll be back at 17 past the hour, Air America Radio.
MorningSedition.com. Our guests, our comedy, your blog. MorningSedition.com, courtesy of Air America Radio.
If you're looking to save big this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel, call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40x60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50x100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL.
Fox redefined suspense with the critically acclaimed series 24. Now we're redefining the medical drama with a groundbreaking new show from the director of X-Men. Meet Dr. Gregory House and his extraordinary team of doctors. Together, they take on the cases that no one else can solve.
I'm not talking about a treatment. I'm talking about a cure.
Disease has met its match. House, a new drama premiering this Tuesday at 9, 8 Central on Fox.
I know everything. Languages? Yes. Boiling points? Celsius and Fahrenheit? Yes. World capitals? Please. So, not too long ago, I tried to get a refi and it get turned down. And this is the best part. The loan officer says to me, sir, do you know what your credit score is? So, I looked at her and said, tell me, do you know what the population of Liechtenstein is? Huh? Do you? Huh? She didn't.
Get in the know. Check out ScorePower from Equifax. You'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score. All for only $14.95. And knowing that is how you get the credit you deserve. So check out ScorePower at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Well, now I have my credit score up to 760, the same number of days it took Frenchman Michel Lapointe to circle the globe on a bike. Yeah, I'll bet you didn't know that.
Get the power. Score power at Equifax.com.
With a global team of 4,000 news gathering professionals, CNN is the world leader in news and information. And now, on Sirius, join Paula Zahn, Anderson Cooper, Larry King, Lou Dobbs, Aaron Brown, and a host of other top news anchors and pros. Get inside the top stories and events of the day, plus business, sports, health, and entertainment. It's your news, your way. 24 hours a day. Sirius, CNN 104.
The New York Times calls it an impressive tool. CNN says it's a must-have for travelers. And the Wall Street Journal claims it worked flawlessly. With GoToMyPC.com, you can always have complete and secure access to anything on your office PC from anywhere there's an internet connection. It's fast, it's easy, and it's secure. Log in from any computer in the world, and GoToMyPC will allow you to work with all your programs and files, email, and network resources, just like you were sitting at your desk. Stop carrying your bulky laptop everywhere. No more copying important files back and forth between computers. Try it free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the radio listener button and enter promo code SiriusRadio. That's GoToMyPC.com. Radio listener button, promo code SiriusRadio. Try GoToMyPC.com now, free for 45 days. You'll love it.
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, I hate you, you're the worst mom in the world. Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
When was the last time you tested your smoke alarms? Last month? Last year? Can't remember? If you're not sure your smoke alarms are working, then how can you be sure you'll be protected if a fire breaks out? Don't gamble with your life and assume your smoke alarms are working. Test each one every month so you know they'll be ready to protect you and your family if there's a fire. Test your alarms for life. For Barron's.
Past the hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Good morning.
Riley, so let's see, the business of kidnapping two of Alawi's family members. This is the the Prime Minister, right?
Yeah, Alawi, the Prime Minister. His 75-year-old cousin, Ghazi Alawi, and the cousin's daughter-in-law have been confirmed kidnapped by a group calling itself, and this is a posting, according to a posting on an Islamic website, Ansar al-Jihad. And they're claiming responsibility for the kidnapping, and they are threatening to behead the hostages in 48 hours if their demands are not met. They demand that Alawi and his government release all female and male detainees in the country and lift the siege on Fallujah.
That's
what they want.
Serious stuff, dude.
Yeah, it's some very, very serious stuff. More than 170 foreigners. That is from people from outside Iraq have been kidnapped since the fall of Saddam's regime in April of last year.
So we have no information as to, we talked to, like, as you were saying on the break, a lot of the journalists we talked to said that there's a virtual business in kidnapping there where people take hostages and then sell them on the, hostage market. And we don't know who's aligned with this particular Muslim group.
Ansar al-Jihad, I don't know whether they are actually the people that pulled off the kidnapping.
Right.
You never know.
Right.
But now they are making a specific set of demands. And they're really taking this entire Fallujah battle straight to Alawi because they're hitting at his own personal credibility. If they can't keep, if Iyad Alawi cannot keep his own family safe, who in Iraq can he keep safe?
Right. And also the fact that, this is a reaction to the attack on Fallujah, which is a guerrilla war, which is a war in the streets there. And it's been, people have been talking, people have been speculating, reporters, some of the people we talked to, that some of the insurgencies and certainly the insurgents and certainly many of the civilians have left Fallujah. And now this is,
In fact, the American military acknowledges that some of the insurgents have left
Fallujah. Right, which means that this is part of a tactic in this broader war that, they're like, we'll go take care of this now. If they want to fight, we'll give them a fight, and this is how we fight. We're going to kidnap, the Prime Minister's relatives and hold them hostage on camera. And now let's talk about these 10 GIs that were killed, because this is the awful reality of another Bush presidency. Everyone's lost in, post-election, either, despair and malaise or anger or celebration on the other side. But the truth of the matter is that this stuff is still going on, that we still have, GIs in trouble, and in harm's way over there. And, 10 of them were killed last night.
Well, see, here's the thing, Mark. People are now starting to say, people inside the U.S. military are now starting to say that the people who are killing these GIs and the Iraqi civilians outside of Fallujah are, in fact, insurgents from Fallujah who've abandoned the city.
So you're saying that they came around on the outside kind of deal?
Now, there's also been a translator for U.S. troops, and a translator who was employed at a U.S. military base near Baghdad was found dead in western Baghdad. The translator's name was Laith Abdul Mushin al-Kaabi. He was shot while driving his car. in his home district. See, these are the kinds of things. The U.S. military went in with both guns blazing. In April, when they tried to take Fallujah before, they went in with 2,000 troops. Now they've got close to somewhere between 10 and 15,000 troops. There's no question but that they will take Fallujah. According to one report I saw, the insurgents had a conference among themselves trying to figure out how many people would stay behind in Fallujah and how many would leave to fight elsewhere. Originally, they wanted to keep 20% in Fallujah and send 80% out. Apparently, they finally decided on a 50-50 split. And remember that the 50% that plan to stay are planned to be martyrs. Mm. They don't plan to come out of this alive. They plan on fighting to the death.
Well, what's fascinating to me and horrifying to me is that, all the discussions we had previous to the election, I am having a hard time, figuring out how to deal with my own sadness, my own anger, my own mourning in this, in this post-election, environment, in the sense that all we talked about in relation to Iraq was the reasons we were there were wrong. That we were put there on false pretenses, it is not part of the war on terror. It is a creator of global terrorism.
Yep.
It is a generator of global terrorism. All these dialogues, for some reason, on the left and from where I'm sitting, have stopped. And we have got to figure out how to reengage these dialogues, because there are still people dying there. There are civilians dying. There are American GIs dying. And I have to figure out a way, and you and I have to figure out a way, to re-engage this dialogue, because this president is continuing to kill Americans and to kill, Iraqi civilians. And this is this is going on now in the midst of all this horrendous, freaking out about what happened with the election. And I understand that there more than one thing can go on at once, but it's still mortifying that this guy's policies are still in action. There's probably going to be a draft. There's no sign to an end in Iraq, and we have to deal with this on a day-to-day level.
Yeah, and we're going to have to deal with the aftermath of taking Fallujah, and when it's all said and done, understanding that that didn't end the insurgency. Even, again, the U.S. military on the ground is saying, once we take Fallujah, we're still going to have to deal with a growing insurgency.
But thank God John Ashcroft said that, the country is finally secured from terrorism. How ironic and screwed up is that, they were playing with, and many of us knew they were playing with our emotions with this terror threat. But,
yep.
Let's talk about Ashcroft in a minute.
Yeah. Well, hey, Ray.
Oh,
Ray.
Okay.
See you, man.
We got it.
Well, we got the Palm Pilot. We'll be talking about that. We got the Liberal Agenda coming up. Later this morning, we're going to be talking with Barry Lynn. He's going to talk about the separation of church and state. And we're also going to talk with Richard Ben Kramer about Yasser Arafat. All coming up here on Air America Radio. Right. Stay with us.
I guess that is it.
Do you know where your children are on the internet? In the U.S., thousands of children are affected by internet crimes every day across the country. You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Help educate our children.
Join the PCP, Printer Cartridge Recycling Program. Don't toss that cartridge. Call 1-866-STOP-ABUSE.
It doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You can be the difference in preventing internet crimes across the nation. It is an effective project for schools, corporations, businesses, offices, private homes, and best of all, the environment.
Don't toss. For every cartridge you return, the Child Abuse Unit receives $1 towards the education on Internet safety.
You can help prevent crimes against innocent children on the web. Educate your children.
And remember, it doesn't cost anything to participate. Don't just make a difference. Be the difference.
You can be the difference in protecting us and promoting Internet safety. Don't toss.
Sponsored by the Child Abuse Unit, SBCC, 1-866-STOP-ABUSE. For more information, go to childabuseunit.com. Keep our children safe on the Internet. Childabuseunit.com.
Don't settle for stale talk radio. Get guaranteed freshness with the new Stephanie Miller Show. Irreverent comedy and liberal attitude. All freshness dated for your protection. Get fresh with Stephanie Miller. 9 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Left 143. Right after the Young Turks and before Alan Cole. Sirius Left and Stephanie Miller. The Fresh Makers.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Phil wants to know if he and his wife are ready to buy their first home. My advice after this.
Money, 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 money.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Should Phil and his wife buy their first home?
My wife and I are wanting to purchase a home. We've been married for a year. We are debt-free with the exception of a school loan.
Cool.
We sat down, we talked about the mortgage, we think we can afford it. And then they bust PMI out on us.
And without a 20% down payment, you're going to have private mortgage insurance.
Is that every time? No,
yes.
Way around it?
No way around it.
Okay.
No way around it is a good way. I mean, there's other things you can do. There's people that are doing what are called 80-20 loans, where they take out a second mortgage at a higher interest rate. And since the first mortgage is only 80%, then they don't charge you PMI. But the higher interest rate on the second mortgage offsets the fact you don't have PMI. So it's you know, you're swapping dollars. I'd take out the PMI. Just make sure you put it on a 15-year fixed and you pay it down as fast as you can pay it down.
No way we're going to be able to afford home.
Then you need to wait. You don't need to buy a home on a 30-year mortgage. That's a dangerous thing. It goes on forever and ever, and the amount of interest you pay is just horrible.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
And we go live now to Andy in the Air and our traffic chopper with today's traffic report.
Thanks, Todd. Traffic is moving smoothly eastbound on Route 1. No delays there. Moderate congestion at exit 17 northbound on the parkway. Expect a 15-minute delay. And there are heavy, heavy delays on the southbound thruway between exit 2 and exit 8 near the shopping center.
Can you see what's going on down there, Andy?
Well, there looks to be an overturned, oversized belly in the right lane. Extremely large, blocking all traffic.
I'm sorry, I don't have a great connection here. Did you say belly?
That's right, Todd, and a rather large one at that. It looks as if someone lost it from walking across the shopping center parking lot to the stores.
Well, there you have it. Heavy congestion due to a heavy belly. Stay tuned for another belly update at the top of the hour.
Small step number 43. Park further from the store and walk. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you have kids, chances are you don't know that right now in your house, something potentially deadly is waiting for your children. It's disguised as ordinary household products that kids as young as 10 sniff to get high. These kids don't know that sniffing can cause instant death. Talk to your kids. If you know what they're up to, they're much less likely to sniff inhalants. Awareness, the anti-drug.
Thanks to you, all sorts of everyday products are now being made from the materials you've been recycling. But to keep recycling working, you also need to buy products made from recycled materials. So the next time you're shopping, look for products that say made from recycled materials and buy them. And don't forget to support the recycling effort on November 15th, America Recycles Day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. Again, that's 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A public service message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron. I'm here on Morning's Edition with Mark Riley.
Hello.
We are here doing the news, trying to assess the situation.
But before we do that, where are you going to be this weekend?
Nowhere that I want anyone to come. Screw them. I got work to do, man. I got a CD to tape at the beginning of December in Seattle. And, you know, I will be at the Improv here in New York on Saturday night, and I'll be at Boston Comedy Club down in the Village, which is a dark, sad, little angry room on 3rd Street. If you want to come down and watch me, you know, wrestle with myself. If you don't get enough of that during the week here, you know, you can certainly do that. I don't get any big payoff if you come. So, you know, if you want to come watch me, you can. Listen to me. Just like, you know, festering with insecurity and self-hatred and projecting that onto the world. Yes, I represent a lot of liberals. Here we go. There's the Palm Pilot for today. This is oddly, you know, because Ray Ray, who is now, you know, for some reason shaved his eyebrows, which is a mystery to me, which always looks weird.
Wow.
It looked weird when Bowie did it. It looks weird when he does it. He's now brought us, because he has access to all the administration's Palm Pilots, we have John Ashcroft's Palm Pilot for today. 5:30 a.m., wake up. Check for erection. If present, smite it. 6:30 a.m. breakfast. Check cereal bowl for masturbators. 8 a.m. prayer meeting. Note: as female employees kneel, avert mine eyes. 9 a.m. vocal lesson. Note: let's get a little edgy today. Pull out Anne Murray's songbook. 9:30 a.m. go to office. Begin cleaning out desk. Contents: Bible, 2 paper clips, anointing oil, Wonder Bread. 12 noon, wait for rapture. 4 p.m. check draped statues for possible nipple transgressions. 8 p.m. marital relations. 8:30 p.m. shame, flagellation, redemption, bedtime. Big day for the soon-to-be former, you know, whatever he is.
Non-dancing attorney general.
Exactly. Yeah, so look at this. John Ashcroft, if I can quote him here, if I can find the quote that I'm looking for, you know, is a dismal example of
Oh, wait a minute. I think I know the quote you're looking for.
Here we go. He was a virgin when he married his wife, not unlike many of our parents.
Yes.
So, from what I understand, that's how the story goes in my house. But he was a virgin when he married his wife, Janet. In his memoir, he writes, "A prostitute has a sex life, but a married person has a love life. What a sad man with a sad little peepee that doesn't work right." Listen to that guy.
You mean that's not profound?
No, it's what's profound about it is if you marry the person that you, if the only person you've ever had sex with is the person you married to, you know, where's your barometer of reality? How do you know what good sex is? How do you know? It's almost like it's a great indication of a lot of people's narrow-mindedness.
Wait a minute, this guy grew up without drinking, without dancing. What does he care whether he's having good sex?
Well, but that's what I'm telling you. And this guy was in a position to sort of determine what other people should and shouldn't do. Is that, like, he has narrowed his reality so tightly that there's no way he can know the difference. I mean, can you actually honor the fear on that deep a level to where you can't even handle trying something to make a decision that you can't deal with it? I mean, even Jesus did that. I mean, for God's sakes. You know what I mean? I mean, for God's sakes.
Now we've come full circle. Marin is quoting, "For God's sake," what, and saying,
why
Jesus.
Why do you have to honor the fear? That's all that these people do is honor the fear. I think that happens on both sides now. People honor fear as opposed to, you know, actually, you know, honor, you know, their own ability to make decisions.
Look, this is a guy who, among other things, held prayer meetings with Justice Department employees in his personal office. He refers to his daily devotionals as RAMP: read, argue, memorize, and pray, I guess in that order. When he's been sworn into political office, he has been anointed with cooking oil. I don't know exactly what kind, canola, palm, whatever.
Certainly not Crisco.
Yeah, not... No, that's a whole different thing. When he became Attorney General, Justice Clarence Thomas anointed him with oil.
Wow.
Must have been cute.
Wow.
As a Missouri senator...
Are there any tapes of that?
I wish we had one.
Oh, my God.
He was also part of...
What a freak show! What is wrong with this country, man? You've got the Clarence Thomas anointing John Ashcroft with oil in an office?
Cooking oil.
It's you know, this is beyond anything I can even imagine. I got a letter today from a guy that sent me a medieval painting of Jesus saying, how clear does it have to be? Underneath the skin is a reptile. These are the extraterrestrials that run the planet. And you know what? Maybe they're right.
I wouldn't be surprised. You take a good look at Dick Cheney. Don't you think reptile?
I've often said that. But, man, you know, things are getting so weird out there. You know, I hope we solve some of these problems. But, I'm starting to lose my context for reality. I am starting to lose the context of my own personal perception. I'm drifting, Riley.
Well, you think you're drifting? Look at John Ashcroft. This guy was part of a group in Congress called the Singing Senators. He wrote a song called "Let the Eagle Soar."
I know. They play it on Majority Report sometimes.
Yeah, and he also spent $8,000 on curtains to cover a pair of 12-foot statues in the atrium of a Justice Department building because the female figure, Spirit of Justice, was bare-breasted.
How do you imagine that like he can't even trust his own sexual instincts around a statue? Like, I, you know, on some level that has to come from the point, you know, where he's walking in, he's like, oh no, I want to do it again to the statue. The statue is giving me an erection. Like, you know, what kind of sick bastard is sitting there looking at a statue? I mean, okay, granted, occasionally I walk by store windows and I'm like, you know, like, okay, I have sex with that mannequin. You know, but you know, it's like it's really weird when there's no head on it and you're like, wow. You know, that's, you know, I'd love
to have sex with a headless mannequin.
But that's sort of creepy, you know, because I'm like, well, that's a pretty hot body. But unfortunately, there's no arms or head or legs. And what does that say about me? But this guy walking into the Justice Department, you know, and just cannot deal with his own sexual desires to have sex with a statue is in charge of anything. Thank God he's leaving. Not that we're going to get anybody better, but thank God he's leaving.
Well, look, he's getting ready to leave. Maybe we should play a little bit of some of his press conferences. We have our crack production staff has put together a montage of the best of John Ashcroft. You got it, Kalo? Yep. Let's do it.
It behooves all of us to be alert, and obviously this year is no exception.
Several upcoming events over the next few months may suggest especially attractive targets for such an al-Qaeda attack. These events include the G8 summit hosted by the United States in Georgia, the Democratic Party convention in Boston this summer, or the Republican Party convention in New York City. Credible intelligence from multiple sources indicates that al-Qaeda plans to attempt an attack on the United States in the next few months. Associates of the hijackers that have ties to terrorist organizations may be a continuing presence in the United States. Intelligence sources suggest that ideal al-Qaeda operatives may now be in their late 20s or early 30s and may travel with a family to lower their profile. Al-Qaeda may perceive that a large-scale attack in the United States this summer or fall would lead to similar consequences.
I'm not going to start going down a catalog of cities.
Boston.
Say one city or another.
New York City. May suggest may be a continuing presence. May now be in their late 20s or early 30s. Al-Qaeda may proceed. May travel with a family.
It behooves all of us to be alert. And obviously this year is no exception.
He successfully frightened almost half of this country into putting a fascist into office again. Not half the country, not even half of registered voters, but half of the people that did vote. This fear, you know, the thing that he was able to do, and which really fascinates me, along with Mark Riley, I'm amazed at how quickly John Kerry is disappearing from my memory. I'm amazed, like, all of a sudden I realized after the election that, you know, the terror threat thing is going to almost disappear now. That these were all tools of, you know, very clever tools on behalf of the Republican Party to paralyze the people of fear. We always knew that, but I never, you know, there's something about it that even the Bin Laden tape, you know, that, you know, the timing of that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they knew enough about people's fear to realize that, like, when you and I watched that, we were like, well, there's the reason why he shouldn't be president. But to a lot of people, they were like, oh, there's still work to be done. You know, it's a very weird thing how they played people's fear.
Well, this was a win-win situation for them, for Ashcroft in particular. On the one hand, he can say, if anything did happen, God forbid, that he warned everybody about it. And when it didn't happen, in his resignation letter to the president, he said, I'm responsible for keeping the country safe.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying go to blackboxvoting.org if you want to get involved or donate money to uncovering whatever election fraud there was and to continue the investigation into that. We'll be back, and we're going to talk about the liberal Arlen Specter, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's 44 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning Sedition. It's not Marxism. It's Marxism. Mark Maron and Mark Riley every morning on Air America Radio.
Lose 30 pounds in 30 days? Or how about eat whatever you want and still lose weight? Look, you and I both know that is not going to happen. I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and I'd probably be the first to sign up for that magic pill that makes diet and exercise irrelevant. But until that day, I'm content to be one of 100,000 plus folks who haven't just ordered Cortislim once. They've ordered Cortislim again. So many people have found that Cortislim is part of an absolutely brilliant lifestyle of managing daily stress. Why? Because stress leads to problems, like gaining weight. We believe that good health involves diet, exercise, supplementation, and Cortislim. And I want you to have Dr. Talbot's Total Sense program free with your order. Look, the holidays are here, and stress and overeating is a problem. This is your chance to step off that scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle. Call 1-800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN.
Fox redefined suspense with the critically acclaimed series 24. Now we're redefining the medical drama with a groundbreaking new show from the director of X-Men. Meet Dr. Gregory House and his extraordinary team of doctors. Together, they take on the cases that no one else can solve.
I'm not talking about a treatment. I'm talking about a cure.
Disease has met its match. House, a new drama, premiering this Tuesday at 9, 8 Central on Fox.
Air America fans, Muckraking Mother Jones magazine has a special offer just for you. Get a full year subscription for just $10 at our new website, readmojo.com. That's readmojo.com, where you'll get over 70% off the regular price. Subscribe today and fight back against four more years of corruption with our special reaction section, which shows you how to get involved with the issues featured in the magazine. Subscribe to Mother Jones today at readmojo.com.
For the global team of 4,000 news-gathering professionals, CNN is the world leader in news and information. And now, on Sirius, join Paula Zahn, Anderson Cooper, Larry King, Lou Dobbs, Aaron Brown, and a host of other top news anchors and pros. Get inside the top stories and events of the day, plus business, sports, health, and entertainment. It's your news, your way. 24 hours a day. Sirius, CNN 104.
The New York Times calls it an impressive tool. CNN says it's a must-have for travelers. And the Wall Street Journal claims it worked flawlessly. With GoToMyPC.com, you can always have complete and secure access to anything on your office PC from anywhere there's an internet connection. It's fast, it's easy, and it's secure. Log in from any computer in the world, and GoToMyPC will allow you to work with all your programs and files, email, and network resources, just like you were sitting at your desk. Stop carrying your bulky laptop everywhere. No more copying important files back and forth between computers. Try it free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the radio listener button and enter promo code SiriusRadio. That's GoToMyPC.com. Radio listener button, promo code SiriusRadio. Try GoToMyPC.com now, free for 45 days. You'll love it.
How do you teach conversation skills to a toddler? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Start by kneeling down and making eye contact with your young child. Limit the amount of words you use and keep the message simple. Allow your toddler enough time to respond to what you've just said. Keep in mind that during these early years, you're teaching far more than word recognition. You're actually modeling for your toddler proper ways to communicate with future teachers, peers, employers, and perhaps their own family one day. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hi, I'm Edward James Olmos. I'm here to talk to you about RAD, Recording Artists, Actors, and Athletes Against Drunk Driving. Think about it. You have choices that you can make in your life. Good choices and bad ones. Drinking and driving, bad choice. Why? The life you may take may even be your own. Think about it. Drinking and driving doesn't mix. Get a designated driver.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
The hour. The objective of securing the safety of Americans from crime and terror has been achieved. That's what John Ashcroft said yesterday, in his note, in his letter, in his handwritten letter to George W. Bush. Well, I feel better, don't you, Mark Riley?
I feel great that he's gone. I mean, now, by the way, this letter was dated on Election Day, so he's actually held it in his pocket for a week or so.
Well, I mean, I just feel safer and better that that's been achieved.
All that John Ashcroft has accomplished is for us all.
He did so much. I mean, I had no idea that there's no crime. Tell that to my buddy who got, my buddy Dylan, who got robbed 2 days ago. I guess maybe Ashcroft doesn't know about that. Or maybe, you know, tell that to, come on.
Gee, the anthrax thing seems not to have been solved just yet, has it? Do we know who sent that anthrax all over the place and killed those people?
But, you know, dude, is it come to that point where these people can just say things?
Yes.
And people will go, oh,
Okay, good.
Yeah.
It's like the end of White Noise by Don DeLillo, where the guy was just like, you know, chomping down on those pills, and that he lost his ability to tell the difference between what's being said and what's happening. Like, you could say, hail of bullets, and he would think he was being shot at.
Yeah.
Has that broken down in most of the people in this country, or do they really not care? Do they really, is people just going about their business now? Is that what's going on?
That's what a lot of people are doing, and ironically enough, that's what a lot of Kerry supporters are doing. They have gone back about their business.
You know what I don't understand, Riley, is that, you know, people are giving flack to me for not towing the Progressive Party line, you know, but I don't understand, you know, what happened to rallying, you know, where is our Democratic representation? If there is so much to believe in, where is John Kerry, you know, the $200 million man, who Democratic, you know, fundraisers and everybody like myself gave money to represent us? Where is his outrage about this voter, this electoral fraud? Where is his statement?
Well, he's going back to the Senate. That was his statement.
No, but where are they? If this is a real deal, why aren't they being taken to task? Where is Howard Dean addressing this? Where are the Democratic Party officials that were, you know, that should be addressing this, that are supposed to be representing us in this potential electoral fraud?
All right, you want the short answer?
Yeah.
They've given up. That's all. They're not fighting it. They didn't fight
why?
It for. They didn't fight it 4 years ago. What makes you think they're fighting it now?
Why they?
It
why?
Wasn't. It wasn't as close this time theoretically as it was 4 years ago. It came down to 537 votes. They didn't fight that. So why would you think 3.5 million they fight?
Do you think that the 3.5 million is a fraudulent number?
Might be. But at this point, it doesn't make any difference.
Why?
Because they're going to certify the results of the election, Bush will be inaugurated, and then if you want to get rid of him, if you find out that it's true that the numbers were manipulated and Kerry won the election, what do you do?
But don't we have a certain amount of time before the Electoral College makes
their next
final,
month.
Their final
and you're not
votes?
Going to know by then. Trust me. I don't care what you do. I don't care what lawsuits you file. They won't even get heard. Preliminary hearings won't even get heard before the Electoral College meets. It's as simple as that. I mean, that's the fact.
Blackboxvoting.org, if you want to give money to the process, if you want to get involved on a local level.
But by the way, that doesn't mean that the process should not go forward. Blackbox Voting is doing a great job. Mm-hmm. We need to make no mistake about that.
Mm-hmm.
They have subpoenaed virtually every record of every voting machine that was at issue here in the country. And for somebody to do that heavy lifting, Mark Maron, you're absolutely right. Our elected officials ought to be doing that heavy lifting. We should not have to depend on Bev Harris to do it. But they're not doing it. So you know what? We're going to have to live to fight another day. You want to fix this stuff? Then let's make sure that come 2006, when these same voting machines will be attempted to be used, that somebody will be able to stand in the schoolhouse door and say, you know what, we can't use these. They have too spotty a stinking record.
They need paper receipts. We need federalized voting. Yeah, there's a lot of things that can and should be done.
And we should say, Jerry Nadler and John Conyers and Bob Wexler, they in Congress, three guys among 435, have asked that some action be taken.
We talked to Nadler 2 days ago.
That's
We're
right.
going to check in with him next week on the progress of that.
Yeah, but you know what? It may be several more weeks. You know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving. The GAL may not answer him by Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And then the Christmas holidays come through, and the next thing you know, it's January. And 20 days into January, you know what happens? Bush gets inaugurated again. And then it all becomes problematic because it would be very, very difficult to impeach a sitting president based on the idea that there were fraudulent goings on in the election. Then you'd have to prove that he knew about him and he was an active participant.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you one thing. There is some encouraging news that I'd like
to
share.
Well, Ashcroft is resigning.
Yeah, but just on a day-to-day basis that, you know, we forget. We look at the electoral map and we forget that you can't dismiss the South. You can't dismiss red states. You cannot dismiss everyone there as being stupid Bush lovers. I mean, the Reds, you know, they may have won the electoral vote, but, you know, in Georgia, 41% of the people voted against Bush. In Colorado, 44% of the people voted against Bush. And actually, you know, the Democrats gained control of the House in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
In Arizona, 40% voted against Bush. Kentucky, 47% voted against Bush. Arizona, 45% voted against Bush. I mean, you know, these are, that's encouraging numbers that there is, you know, a tremendous rallying cry among, you know, the Democratic Party. 4 to 47% voted, you know, maybe more. You know, we always got
questions. We don't know about Florida. But consider this for a moment, Mark. 3 years ago, in 2001, the late mayor, former mayor of Atlanta, Georgia, Maynard Jackson, wanted to contest for the chairmanship of the Democratic National Committee, which eventually went to Terry McAuliffe. And what was Maynard Jackson's platform in 2001?
What?
The Democrats have to go back and start doing the work to win the southern states.
Right.
Now, what would have happened, theoretically, had they gone down that path 3 years ago? When Maynard Jackson said,
"Yeah,
that's what we need to do."
Yeah. Let's take this call. Rebecca, you called out of nowhere. There's Rebecca. How are you, Rebecca? You are listening to WBLY in Ann Arbor. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Hi, Rebecca.
Hello. Good morning, you guys. Hey. You know, you're absolutely right. The lawyers have got to get to the bottom of the voting issue, but the Republicans have moved on. They are out there looking to dismantle social programs, whatever they can do in that regard, and the whole issue of how we're creating insurgents by the day with lousy economic policies in Iraq has never even gotten onto the table. That is not even being discussed.
You're right. You're right. There's 70% unemployment rate in Iraq among Iraqis.
Yes.
There's a pretty big unemployment rate here.
Yes.
Yeah.
45 million people uninsured here.
Yes. Well, let's get this voting issue into the courts, you know, let the lawyers start fighting that. But, you know, the Republicans have moved on, so we need to do that as well.
We need to address, you know, the broader spectrum of social issues.
Right.
Yeah, thank you very much, Rebecca. Nice to talk to you.
Appreciate it. From Ann Arbor.
I used to love working in Ann Arbor. That's a cool little town. I haven't done that comedy club in a while. There used to be a place there called the Main Street Comedy Club, and it was a dank little basement. I love working in basements. For some reason, there's something funnier about places with low ceilings that are underground.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you're in a, you know,
a fallout shelter.
Well, underground, literally. Here's the liberal agenda for today. Write these down here, your marching orders. One. Have your town make Fallujah a sister city. If they refuse, attack them with mortars.
Oh,
two, find out which wounded soldiers Bush visited. Have them commended for courage in the face of the enemy. Three, stop the recount effort. Gracefully concede that Reagan really did beat Mondale in 1984. Four, celebrate John Ashcroft's resignation by ripping the drapery off of the Statue of Justice and let the eagle soar. Phrase of the day. Here we go. Quote, when Arafat dies, you should be buried in the state of Palestine. Oh, that's right. The Palestinians don't have a state, man.
Oh, God.
What do we got next hour?
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, we're going to be talking with our good friend, the Reverend Barry Lynn, Executive Director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State.
That's good. I like that guy. He's smart.
Yeah, that's not one of John Ashcroft's favorite organizations, by the way. The Dream Diaries coming up. Lawton Small from Planet Bush and the War on Brains, all here on Air America Radio.
Hello, this is Mandy Patinkin for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you cannot read because of blindness or other impairment, we'll send you selections from leading magazines on special speed cassettes. So for 8 hours of memorable writing every other month, completely free of charge, call 516-883-8280 or write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. That's 516-883-8280.
I had this great DJ spinning. He's dancing with this blonde chick, and we started hooking up. And I'm like, the party was at this huge house next to a lake. She was rolling, too. Friend was having an after party, and they were like, come with us. And she starts convulsing, and call 911, call 911. And I'm like, this girl's shaking. Wheel her out, and she's got tubes and stuff, and we're all...
Ecstasy. It can go bad in an instant. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Ben.
I am the Edison Photograph, to delight those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh, it's on.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza. Three members of Iraqi Prime Minister Ayad Alawi's family were abducted from their Baghdad home, that according to police reports from Iraq. Lieutenant Colonel Man Khalaf said armed men grabbed Alawi's first cousin, the cousin's wife, and daughter-in-law from Baghdad's western Qaidisha neighborhood Tuesday night. The Prime Minister's office had no immediate confirmation. A Marine officer says U.S. forces now control an estimated 70% of Fallujah. Troops are set to begin pushing into the latest parts of the rebel strongholds they still do not control. Rebels still line a strip of land running along the city's main east-west highway. Major Francis Piccoli says fighting so far has been light to moderate. Retired General Tommy Franks, former CENTCOM commander, says there are many questions remain about the composition of the insurgency in Fallujah.
What one doesn't know is whether we are looking at just these 3, 5, 10-man cells right now, and the more we squeeze Fallujah, whether we'll come upon some real serious large numbers of people.
Two down with more resignations expected. Attorney General John Ashcroft and Commerce Secretary Don Evans have offered to leave their respective posts. Bush says Ashcroft served with honor and worked tirelessly to make our country safer. Evans, a longtime friend of the president, helped the president champion his plans to cut taxes. Bush praised his efforts, saying he tried to advance economic security and prosperity for all Americans. Speculation on replacements focuses on a successor to Ashcroft. Ashcroft's former deputy, Larry Thompson, thought to be a prime candidate. If selected, Thompson would become the first African-American to hold the post of attorney general. Mercer Reynolds, Bush's campaign money man, in the lead for Evans' job at the Commerce Department. One more time makes four in 1 year. The Fed is expected to hike interest rates again. Analysts say strong payrolls issued by the Labor Department are giving the central bank more confidence about the country's financial outlook. The Fed started raising interest rates last June with the federal funds rate, the interest that banks charge on overnight loans, at a 46-year low. With the next expected increase, the benchmark rate would go up to 2%. President Bush at Walter Reed Army Medical Center yesterday, wishing American forces in Fallujah Godspeed. Bush says insurgents are trying to thwart democracy, but will fail thanks to U.S. soldiers doing the hard work of defending freedom. The president spoke to reporters after visiting wounded soldiers at the medical center. Tonight, Bush at the White House observes the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. He'll host an iftar dinner, the traditional meal which breaks the day-long period of fasting and introspection. More than 1,000 French and other expatriates are evacuating the Ivory Coast's largest city and French military base in Abidjan. Evacuation started Wednesday morning with a convoy of 40 UN personnel who were among more than 1,000 expatriates held up at the UN headquarters. I'm Mike Piazza.
Cracked up plays George Collins. Rodolphe plays him too. Cracked up plays the cleaner bit, and Rodolphe plays the blue. Rodolphe's 147. Cracked up's 146. Both play lots of comedy and other funny shit.
Cracked up and Raw Dog, two flavors of funny from Sirius.
If FM could, they probably would. It's radio that's cool. No FCC rules.
This is Earth and Sky. Earth's oceans are known to overturn on a timescale of 1 to 2,000 years.
Scientists refer to this global overturning of seawater as an ocean conveyor belt. One thing it conveys is heat. In the Atlantic, the ocean conveyor belt carries heat from the tropics northward. Without this heat, the region around the North Atlantic would be colder.
Jerry McManus at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution in Massachusetts has studied the relationship between the ocean conveyor belt and past climate. He and his colleagues have found that the ocean was apparently overturning more slowly 12,000 years ago, at a time when temperatures around the North Atlantic are believed to have been lower.
So there's this very strong connection between climate and ocean circulation. We haven't yet completely demonstrated which of those two drives the other, although the sort of more obvious one is that ocean circulation with its elements of heat transport can influence climate.
Climate scientists say that global warming might cause ocean circulation to slow down again as fresh water from melted glaciers and other icy areas enter the ocean. So while the rest of the world warms, the region around the North Atlantic could get colder. Our thanks to the National Science Foundation, where discoveries begin. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes, and to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying, and most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron. You're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, drawers of lines in the sand, progressive utopians who are up in arms and, you know, have decided, givers of ultimatums. You know, those are the ones that I really like. Me and, you know what, me and my friends have made a decision about you. Well, you know, good morning to all of you. I appreciate all your emails and calls, all the great, you know, the hundreds of emails of support, the hundreds of emails of dissent. I'm glad that so many people are excited about things, but no one out there can dictate what we are going to do here. Isn't that right, Mark Riley?
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, we're trying to get people mobilized in terms of, working on, local government level. It looks like we got a call that came out of nowhere here from Indiana. Lee, good morning. What are you guys up to out there in Indiana, Lee?
Hey, Lee.
Hey there, guys.
What's
going
on?
Hey, Maron, I really understand your frustration with these crying babies. I mean, I really do.
Uh-huh.
And Riley, he's off his meds, isn't he?
Yeah, right. I've been off him for months.
Yeah, he's decided to go pill-free.
But, Lee, let me ask you a question. I mean, the deal is, you guys are actually doing some political activism in terms of, sort of reestablishing the core of the democratic value system?
Oh, exactly. And I tell you, we started off with the old Howard Dean group that we were part of.
Yeah.
We never really went away. We're called Democracy for America,
uh-huh.
And the web and everything. And what we're doing now is we have a meetup group that is trying to help just regular people that never thought on running for office
right.
Get involved on the local level.
Really? Now, what is that website?
Okay, that's DFA.
DF like okay. In Frank, A.
Right.
Okay.
Dog Frank Adam.
Yeah.
At meetup.com.
Okay, we're going to put that on our links because a lot of people ask me, I talked to a woman the other night. She's like, I'm furious, and I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
There's so many people that's furious and don't know where to start, and whenever they come to our meeting, the very first thing they do is, what for gosh sake can we do?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people that's depressed that can't even mobilize,
mm-hmm.
And we're actually having a meetup tonight that's going to be dealing with that, but this is just local over here in Evansville, Indiana.
Now,
but if they go on that website, they can find the local groups and get involved that way, which is really, really important.
Because it would be very interesting to have people actually engage in the political process in the American democracy if they believe it still exists in a very hands-on way, as opposed to just sort of like, pulling things off the blog and forwarding them to their friends and then finding out 2 days later that what they forwarded is not necessarily right and that it's unsubstantiated. That's not really political activism, is it?
Exactly. The thing is that you have to go out there and do something.
Talk to people.
Nobody will do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you go ahead and start doing it, get excited about it with yourself, and then other people will come to you, and the groundswell will be tremendous.
Hey, Lee, as a former DENIAC, what do you think about the possibility he might be chair of the DNC?
I think that would be tremendous because, unfortunately, I have a lot of misgivings with Terry McAuliffe.
He's
a fine man, I'm sure, but the thing is, after two failed candidacies and all, I know that Clinton appointed, or got him to his position there. But, you know, it's just not working. And if things aren't working, you got to make changes. You just have to, you know.
Yeah, I kind of get a sense that most Democrats feel Terry McAuliffe, I mean, his term ends, I believe, at the end of this year. Right. So he's pretty much a done deal. It's just a question now of, you know, who ends up taking his place and what direction do they steer the party. And some people are saying John Edwards should take that gig.
Well, Lee, let me just point out too. Like, there has been some progress for Democrats in Colorado. They had some tremendous success, and there are people coming up through on the local government scene, which is very encouraging. How are you addressing some of this accusations of electoral fraud and that kind of stuff in your group meetings?
Well, to be quite honest, we're basically doing what a lot of people are doing. We're venting it out and letting it get out there. You have to release this stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we only deal with part of that in the group, because after that, you can't just stay and spin your wheels in the same place. You have to go out. You have to activate. In fact, just 2 days ago, we were at a county commissioner's meeting just arguing to get these no paper ballot trail are gone out
right
there. You know,
right.
And so we're still active. Unfortunately, it's making it harder in our area, since more Republicans in this area has gotten involved or gotten actually into office.
So are they actually putting up a wall to taking action around these voting machines?
Exactly. Mm. In fact, the lady that was the head of elections was a Republican and actually pulled these machines in. Now she's going on to the commissioner's board. Mm. So we're going to be taking the fights not only as commissioner, but also the state house, too.
Okay, great.
And just to let you know also that we're trying to form a group that's going to be getting Air America here to Indiana, because there's no reason that this state should be red.
Yeah, that's true with a lot of states. They were so close. Thanks a lot for your call.
Appreciate
talking to you. Well, that's interesting. You know, the one thing I don't always realize is that it's like you think that even if you get involved on a local political level, that you're still going to come into these obstructions and that people are going to fight for these machines. And there's no reason that, you know, that the machines should be owned and operated by corporate interests. I mean, the federalization of the voting system that you are endorsing,
yeah,
I think, is the way to go. Now, the obstacle to that happening is that both Democrats and Republicans have a vested interest in a state-regulated system, because what if the Democrats need to fix it in a few years?
Well, see, the thing is, the states usually maintain the electoral system as their particular prerogative. And in some cases, man, I got to be honest with you, in some cases, these folks are influenced by somebody taking them out to dinner, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know, one of these vote machine guys, hey, come on, let's go down and have a couple of drinks.
And that's the way it all works.
And the next thing you know, so there is a financial interest in this.
Right, that's the way pharmaceutical companies get psychiatrists to prescribe medicines. They buy them a trip. That's the way gun manufacturers get, you know, gun dealers to sell machine guns. They say, look, I'll send you and your wife to Jamaica, and, you know, and I'll give you a tank.
And we should remember what Wally O'Dell from Diebold said about using every effort at his disposal. This is the chairman and CEO of Diebold, the people that made those paperless voting machines, saying that he would do everything in his power to see to it that George W. Bush took the state of Ohio.
Well, now that the religious right is, running the country, and there's this unholy alliance between the presidential, you know, between the administration and the religious right, now they have to, you know, the president has to answer to the religious right, and they are trying to bully Arlen Specter out of this becoming chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee,
and if the people aren't careful, they will succeed.
Let's talk about that when we come back. It's 13 past the hour. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition. It's more than just a commute companion.
Listen online at morningsedition.com when you get to work, courtesy of Air America Radio.
Fox redefined suspense with the critically acclaimed series 24. Now, we're redefining the medical drama with a groundbreaking new show from the director of X-Men. Meet Dr. Gregory House and his extraordinary team of doctors. Together, they take on the cases that no one else can solve.
I'm not talking about a treatment. I'm talking about a cure.
Disease has met its match. House, a new drama premiering this Tuesday at 9, 8 Central on Fox.
My credit card bills are getting out of hand. 12%, 18%, even 24%? I can't get ahead. There's no money left over after paying bills.
You need help now.
But what can I do?
If you're a homeowner, you need to call Omega Mortgage Acceptance Corporation. In fact, at Omega Mortgage, they've actually lowered rates, reduced payments, and delivered the cash needed to thousands of homeowners.
I can even have money left over for the holidays?
That's right. And at Omega Mortgage, they make home loans easy and can approve you in less than 20 minutes. You won't be buried in heaps of paperwork or mountains of documentation. You don't even need tax returns. Great if you're self-employed.
But I've had mortgage lates. Can they really help me?
No problem. Credit card lates, mortgage lates, even bankruptcy. Omega Mortgage specializes in home loans for homeowners just like you. Call right now to lower your payments and get cash in your hands in time for the holidays. 888-32-APPLY. 888-32-APPLY. Get approved in less than 20 minutes. Call 888-32-APPLY. That's 888-322-7759. Licensed by Cal DRE number 01411312. Call 888-32-APPLY.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows, and my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't doing enough. I still had flakes and my scalp felt dry and itchy. So I switched to Celsin Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers.
Doctor recommended Celsin Blue as a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff, plus it keeps hair and scalp healthy and itch-free.
If your dandruff shampoo can't handle black, do what I did. Switch to Celsin Blue Moisturizing Shampoo.
Never wear black without the blue. Celsin Blue. Use as directed.
With a global team of 4,000 news-gathering professionals, CNN is the world leader in news and information. And now, on Sirius, join Paula Zahn, Anderson Cooper, Larry King, Lou Dobbs, Aaron Brown, and a host of other top news anchors and pros. Get inside the top stories and events of the day, plus business, sports, health, and entertainment. It's your news, your way. 24 hours a day. Sirius, CNN 104.
The New York Times calls it an impressive tool. CNN says it's a must-have for travelers. And the Wall Street Journal claims it worked flawlessly. With GoToMyPC.com, you can always have complete and secure access to anything on your office PC from anywhere there's an internet connection. It's fast, it's easy, and it's secure. Log in from any computer in the world, and GoToMyPC will allow you to work with all your programs and files, email, and network resources, just like you were sitting at your desk. Stop carrying your bulky laptop everywhere. No more copying important files back and forth between computers. Try it free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the radio listener button and enter promo code SiriusRadio. That's GoToMyPC.com. Radio listener button, promo code SiriusRadio. Try GoToMyPC.com now, free for 45 days. You'll love it.
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, "I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world." Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
We're all hearing a lot about youth violence these days, but you know what? Crime and violence among teens is actually going down. The secret to keeping it down is to help our kids learn about things like self-respect and empathy and how to solve conflicts without resorting to violence. Teach your children how to steer clear of violence. Who knows? You might just save a life. A message from Big Brothers Big Sisters of America, the Boys and Girls Clubs of America, and the Center for the Prevention of School Violence.
Yes, 19 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Yes.
Morning Sedition. We're doing all right.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I go to therapy. Thank God. So, you know what I mean? It's, same thing every week. I don't sweep. I'm angry. I don't sweep. I'm angry. Here's money. Thank you.
I'm glad I could do this. So I do it here on the radio. I do it in his office. I do it at, you know, the secret meetings I go to. You know what I mean? Doesn't get any better. Why don't I just call my parents and yell at them? Why don't I just do that? Maybe, why shouldn't they? Why don't I call them? Stop yelling at my cats. Hey, anyways, here's a dream diary for last night. I'm a racehorse, and I'm in the back stretch of the Kentucky Derby. I'm neck and neck with this other horse, and I'm running my flanks off. Faster, faster, I'm flying. But the jockey on the other horse keeps bumping me and whipping me and throwing pepper in my eyes. Doesn't matter, I'm stronger, smarter, faster, and I've got the momentum. But when I get to the finish line, I get beat out by a nose. A moan goes up through the stands. People are ripping up tickets and punching the crowns out of their straw hats. Almost immediately, everyone blamed everyone else, and everyone had a theory about why I lost. I had a crappy jockey. No, the jockey was fine. I just wasn't fast enough. No, the track was slippery. No, the track wasn't slippery enough. No, the timer cheated. No, the other jockey cheated. No, we didn't spend enough money on ads slamming the other jockey. No, we spent too much money on ads slamming the other jockey. No, we shouldn't have run on the south side of the track. No, we should have had a different colored horse. No, we didn't ask God to help us win. No, I was being fed the wrong kind of oats. No, I wore myself out in the primary races. No, not enough young people showed up to watch. And finally, we should give up and never race again and move to Vancouver where people understand a horse like me. I wanted to tell all of them that I ran as hard as I could, and I would gladly give it another shot, but I'm a horse, and they can't hear me. I could really use some oats and some water and some shut-eye, but no one's paying any attention to me because everyone's too busy fighting. So finally this kid comes over and leads me to the stable and gives me a carrot and lets me take a leak. So I'm feeling a whole lot better, and I say to the kid, you know, next time I'm going to win that thing. And the kid who speaks horse says, I know you'll win, but first we're going to take your sperm and make 50 more of you. I woke up and my bed was filled with trifectas. How do you like that? So in a second, we're going to talk to the Reverend Barry Lynn. I want to take a quick call that's going to lead us into that, hopefully. Marco in Virginia, how are you?
Hey, Marco.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind, buddy?
I'm not really up on my constitutional law here.
Okay.
Does the federal constitution or the state constitution take precedence when there's a conflict?
Federal.
Federal, right?
Yeah,
that's
federal.
That means that every single constitutional amendment that is passed by gay marriage is unconstitutional.
Yes.
Just lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going to...
But in all of the arguments that I've heard the politicians make about gay marriage and all of the hemming and hawing about it's between a man and a woman, they've never ever brought up the point that it's a moot point in the first place because marriage is a religious term.
Right.
And therefore, any marriage is a religious contract and not a secular contract.
It's really a human rights issue, and we're going to be talking to our guest about that. Thanks for your call, Marco.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call.
On the phone, I believe he's on the phone, the executive director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State from Maryland. Good morning, Reverend Barry Lynn. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mark. And Mark?
Good morning. How you doing?
Great. I mean that, too, because I'm over it. I'm 8 hours of being depressed last week, and now I've spent so much time with so many great people around the country that we're ready to go back and fight again.
Thank God.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Yeah, so what's first on the plate, Barry?
Well, the first thing is to recognize one important thing, and that is that the religious right did not get a mandate to run America.
Good.
And a couple of simple talking points, you know, everybody's doing it. Even that guy on Fox does talking points.
Sure, we're open to talking points.
Yeah. You don't have a revolution in this country if you only switch 3 votes from of one political party to the other, and that's because of redistricting in Texas. You know, if there wasn't been that phony redistricting, there would have been one more Democrat, not 3 fewer Democrats in the House of Representatives. When you have exit polls saying that 60% of Americans support either gay marriage or at least civil unions, and 55% say no restrictions or virtually no restrictions on reproductive choice, that is a mandate for our side. It is not a mandate for the religious right, which, by the way, turns out did not bring out a higher percentage of evangelical voters this year than in the last presidential election. They got out of the gate. They conned the press into thinking that the religious right all of a sudden has a mandate. They're acting like they do. They're acting like they run America. The truth is, it ain't so.
Well, then what are these numbers, and what is that idea that they brought out another 4 million? And I guess alongside of that, do you believe that the election is over?
Well, I'm afraid the election's over. That is to say, the lawsuits that could come in places like Ohio and Florida I don't have a large amount of hope for those coming. I think once Senator Kerry conceded and a lot of people kind of gave up any possibilities of lawsuits, I mean, I'm still thinking there may be some, but I think that basically we got to start organizing for the next effort, which is not in 4 years, by the way, but in 2 years, to try to make sure that these progressive values that all of us care about and the majority of Americans care about are the ones that prevail.
But now, what about this mythical number that you're saying is not real, these 4 million extra evangelical voters? I mean, I was under the impression that there was, you know, close to 30 million evangelical Christian voters that voted for this president.
Well, there were a few more people, like there are more young people who voted,
uh-huh.
but the percentages remained the same, which means we're kind of at ground zero
okay.
again and start all over. But I don't want people to get depressed when I hear that 22% of people voted values. Well, first of all, we don't even know what the pollster at AP who asked that question intended it to mean.
Okay.
So now we've got people, and luckily, I just did a press conference yesterday with a group of more left-of-center political religious leaders, and all of us said, you know, we vote values, too. It's just that we don't vote these narrow, bigoted values that the religious right likes to talk about. We actually think that issues like hunger in America, like child poverty, health care, and the Constitution of the United States are values worth talking about and describing as values. You know, who in the world gave Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, and James Dobson the right to tell us what the only moral issues on the planet happen to be?
Yeah, and their morality is sort of skewed in a weird way. It's not really Christian morality. It's some sort of strange combination of bigotry and self-reliance.
Well, you're being very polite to them.
Gee, that's a first.
No. Well, I mean, some of these guys just are flatly liars. Let me tell you about one liar. The Reverend Patrick Mahoney, the Christian Defense Coalition,
yeah.
is the organization he runs. Just about 3 days before the election, he put out in the middle of the night a press release that announced that the Internal Revenue Service had written to him and told him that churches could not pray for President Bush that Sunday before the election. An astonishing story, completely false. It is a lie. Nevertheless, unfortunately, one wire service picked it up as if it were true and disseminated it to some big papers in the country, and as a consequence, it got into the popular mythology. If any of your listeners have heard of the Reverend Patrick Mahoney before, it's because he was one of the great defenders of Judge Roy Moore, the guy who put his 2.5-ton granite monument of the Ten Commandments down there in the center of the Montgomery, Alabama courthouse about 2 years ago. Maybe if Mr. Mahoney had read the Ten Commandments, more particularly that one that talks about not bearing false witness, not lying,
mm-hmm.
maybe he wouldn't have put out a lying, deceitful press release deliberately to try to incense Christian voters to come out to the polls. These guys do anything, lie about anything if it's necessary for them to achieve a short-term success. They aren't to be trusted. That's why I said you were a little polite.
Hey, I guess I was just trying to get you to say what you said.
There you go.
Okay.
Reverend, when we come back, because we're going to keep you over the break if you can stay with us.
Sure, absolutely.
When we come back, I want to run a poll number to you that actually was done by a polling organization that is absolutely astonishing to me. But we're going to get to that. We're also going to get to Planet Bush. Lawton Smalls is supposedly standing by, Mark. I don't know. Are you on his wavelength?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, he's scaring the hell right out of me. We also got the war on brains. And you on the telephones at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. When we come back here on Air America Radio.
If you're looking to save big, this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel. Call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40x60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50x100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL.
Hi, this is Doug Dupuis for SelectQuote, and I just called
Cheryl Payne,
one of SelectQuote's licensed agents.
Hi, Mr. Dupuis.
Hi, Cheryl. Why buy term life insurance through SelectQuote instead of somebody else?
Well, Mr. Dupuis, about 2 out of 3 people have health or lifestyle issues. Could be high blood pressure, skydiving. Now, depending on what insurance company you choose, you could overpay hundreds of dollars a year.
Well, where does SelectQuote come in?
SelectQuote's a real matchmaker. We impartially shop the pick of America's top life insurers to match you with your best buy.
Got an example?
Sure. I just matched a man 40 years old who takes cholesterol medication with a $500,000 policy for under $22 a month.
Quite a match, Cheryl. Why not let SelectQuote match you with your best buy? Just call 1-800-772-8300. That's 1-800-772-8300. Or log on to SelectQuote.com.
Example is First Colony Preferred Best Colony 10-year term policy form 1420 and 1421 et al. Underwritten by First Colony Life Insurance Company at GE Financial Assurance Company, Lynchburg, Virginia. Policy subject to underwriting approval, available in most states.
With a global team of 4,000 news-gathering professionals, CNN is the world leader in news and information. And now, on Sirius, join Paula Zahn, Anderson Cooper, Larry King, Lou Dobbs, Aaron Brown, and a host of other top news anchors and pros. Get inside the top stories and events of the day, plus business, sports, health, and entertainment. It's your news, your way. 24 hours a day. Sirius, CNN 104.
Hi, I'm Bobby Lycos with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're just nodding off when suddenly... Don't you wish you could do something about these pesky car alarms? You can, and I'll tell you what... When we come back. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units, and in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today, or visit tornadoair.com.
If the monotonous whoop-whoop of car alarms has you putting in earplugs and pulling out your hair, you're not alone. According to a Columbia University study, almost 95% of all audible car alarms are false. But before you take out your sleep deprivation with a baseball bat, check your city's noise ordinance codes. Many alarms are considered a violation and ticketable offense. So what's the best bet for automotive protection? Alarm alternatives such as pager notification, GPS tracking systems, and electrical immobilizers essentially provide the same protection without all the, pardon the pun, bells and whistles. I'm Bobby Lycos. Lycos, you'll love us.
Attention swimmers, get out of the water. Everybody, out of the water immediately.
Dude, that? It's a pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too. That mom, who's been swimming a lot with her kids, must have lost them.
Whoa. I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small step number 54. Play with your kids. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
Hey, Mom, I'm going to a dance with some friends. Don't worry, I won't drink alcohol.
But the next day, I'll sleep a lot and not say much. Although a few days later...
I'll be back to my normal self, and you'll forget about it until...
The next weekend, I'm the same way. But this time, I don't get happy again.
You may not know much about the drug ecstasy, but your kids might. Talk to them about how E causes sleeplessness and depression, and may even damage parts of their brain, particularly parts that make them happy. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
The Barna Group, they just did a poll that was released on Tuesday, and it said that although the born-again population constituted 38% of Americans, which I find dubious to begin with, it represented 53% of the votes cast in the election. Do you buy that?
No, I don't buy most of the research from the Barna Group because they always come up with these very strange conclusions, and there's no other evidence that that's true. And I think the main thing we've got to do is get a little bit unfocused from the polls and focused on what we really need to do to make sure that the bad ideas they have, whether they're 5% or 55%, and they're not 55%, in fact get into the laws of the United States and transform America into a place we don't want it to go.
Well, how do you talk to people who are delusional religious fanatics who are willing to sacrifice their own well-being to vote on what they're being told are moral issues, you know, by cult leaders who are politicizing their beliefs? I mean, how do you talk to them, Barry?
Well, I mean, you do talk to them about, use the language of religion. As a religious person myself, I don't shy away from it. But I like to point out, for example, to people who say, you know, because Jesus was so much against abortion, I have to be too, that Jesus never mentioned abortion, that the entire topic of abortion is not mentioned in the Christian Bible, in the Old or the New Testaments, that it's simply not there. This is an add-on by the political religious leaders, the people who want your money and then ultimately want power and access to the White House, and who now are the people screaming for payback. So there are arguments like that, Mark, that you can use, but I think it's also true that there will be a core of people, there have been for the last 20 years at least, of 16 to 19% of American voters who self-identify as the Christian right, religious right, evangelical conservative voters. And some of those folks we're just never going to change. We're not going to convince them. We have to convince the rest of America, the majority of America, that values like the ones we started talking about, hunger, health care, war, these are the things we have to talk about with religious people as well as with humanists and free thinkers and non-religious people.
And also the framing of the an idea like gay marriage, the constitutional amendment that would forbid gay marriage, that is not really a moral issue. It really is a human rights issue, a family rights issue, is it not?
You know, it's two things. It's a human rights issue, a fundamental one, whether we're going to, for the first time in the history of this country, pass an amendment to the Constitution to cut back the rights of American citizens. But the way it's framed by the religious right, it does kind of become a religious issue, because when the President of the United States says marriage is a sacred institution, the last time I checked, that's a religious word. When Bill Frist, the head of the majority leader of the United States Senate, refers to marriage as a sacrament that needs to be preserved, that too is a religious term. It's being argued as a religious issue, and we just have to make it crystal clear that we don't get to impose one religious viewpoint on everyone just because 15 or 20% of Americans happen to share it. And there's been a sea change. When 60% of the people walking out of those polls a week ago said, you know, we either approve already of gay marriage or at least we approve of civil unions, that's something that would have been unheard of just 3 or 4 years ago. The country shifts, and it's shifting very quickly. And I think the biggest question is, what do we do now to make sure that these bad ideas, like the Federal Marriage Amendment, and bad judges, like some of the people that are likely to be up there on the proposed, at least, for the United States Supreme Court, how do we get them stopped? And the big answer, frankly, is use the F word, not the Dick Cheney F word. I would not use that one.
Right.
Thanks, Rip.
Thank you. Yeah, because, you know, I know you're on terrestrial stations, too. I know a little about this. But the other one, the one we used in civics classes and learned about the filibuster, 41 members of the Senate, and there still are 41 moderate to progressives, including a couple of Republicans, need to stand up and say, we're not letting these bills pass. This shall not pass. These bad, creepy judges that may be coming up in the very near future don't have to get put on the bench. If you have to have only 8 or 7 people on the Supreme Court, you know what? The country will survive that. 7 or 8 will be enough. We can't let people lose their spine and lose their ability to do extraordinary things when there are extraordinary challenges to our Constitution. I'm in favor of developing a kind of spinal Viagra so that politicians do have spine. I don't care what other body parts they have. I want them to have a spine, and I want them not to just tell us if they're good liberals, we share your pain. That's nice, but I'm over that. I want them to say, we're going to fight as long and as hard as it takes to stop the bad ideas, the bad bills, the bad judges from being a part of this system.
Now, does that mean, Reverend, that fight includes getting all inspector to the chairmanship of the Senate Judiciary Committee? Is that a fight worth waging at this point?
Absolutely, because if the religious right is able to take Arlen Specter out and force a more conservative member, less senior member, to be the head of the Judiciary Committee, it will be much more difficult to get a fair hearing. I've known Arlen Specter for a long time. I have a huge number of disagreements with him, but he is not only a fairer and more, I think, just person to serve than Orrin Hatch, but I think since I've heard some of those Orrin Hatch records, he may even be a better singer. I don't know. But we got to. I think that people, particularly your listeners in Pennsylvania, have to understand that every minute Arlen Specter's office and the White House are getting something like 2 to 5 telephone calls from people saying, stop Arlen Specter from being the chair of the Judiciary Committee. That's a huge number of people. But remember, if our side comes out and says, wait a minute, give that man a chance, and enough people weigh in on the other side, he will be the chairman, and it is a battle worth fighting. But, you know, my theory, Mark, is you fight every battle. You don't say, well, you know, let's give a pass on this one and play hockey.
I wonder how many of those people that are emailing every 2 minutes are out of work because of Bush's policies.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, the irony. Isn't it sad? Although, you know, I guess there's one good thing that we shouldn't only work on and vote the values that affect us personally.
Right.
But when you have such an extraordinary incident of people who have lost their jobs, lost their health care, but still don't seem to want to blame the leadership in Washington, it's peculiar.
But that's what completely baffles me. And the other question I wanted to ask you before we take calls, or maybe we can take a break now and you can think about it, is that I read this article about evangelical mobilization of votes, and that there was a concern the last time you and I talked about, you know, whether or not they were infringing on their non-for-profit status by, you know, getting these voting, these lists of, these congregation lists from ministers.
Yep.
Can we talk a little bit about that when we come back, if there's
Absolutely.
Any legal action being taken along those lines?
Absolutely. Got some new updates on that.
Terrific. Great. We'll be back with the Reverend Barry Lynn in a minute, and your phone calls at 866-303-2270. It's 42 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition.
We can't do it without you. Call us at 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270.
Right here on Air America Radio.
Lose 30 pounds in 30 days? Or how about eat whatever you want and still lose weight? Look, you and I both know that is not going to happen. I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and I'd probably be the first to sign up for that magic pill that makes diet and exercise irrelevant. But until that day, I'm content to be one of 100,000 plus folks who haven't just ordered Cortislim once. They've ordered Cortislim again. So many people have found that Cortislim is part of an absolutely brilliant lifestyle of managing daily stress. Why? Because stress leads to problems like gaining weight. We believe that good health involves diet, exercise, supplementation, and Cortislim. And I want you to have Dr. Talbot's Total Sense program free with your order. Look, the holidays are here, and stress and overeating is a problem. This is your chance to step off that scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle. Call 1-800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN.
Planet Check.
Just last week, the European Parliament approved a resolution by an overwhelming majority calling for a moratorium on the deployment of military sonar.
We cannot allow the military to be testing and training with a technology that poses the kind of risks that high-intensity military sonar poses to the environment.
That's Joel Reynolds from the Natural Resource Defense Council. Sound is to marine animals like sight is to humans.
And if we interfere with their ability to hear and be heard, we have the potential to injure them in a range of ways, from interfering with behaviors to literally blowing out their brains from the intensity of the sound.
Thanks to the recent decision by the European Parliament, this is a major step in the right direction.
This is a landmark decision, the first decision really by any government anywhere in the world.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
M&M and rock and chatter, entertainment's all that matters. Moving easy, good vibrations, soul review and naked rhythm. Bluegrass, hip-hop, jazz and metal, R&B, we push the pedal. Elvis, Elk, you left the center, college football, Mexicana. Truck is talking, brewer, tackles, wise guy, babble, all the scandals. L.A. Hughes and Philly balls and traffic, first and weather's now on play-by-play. And James Lipper and this B.R.I. and Howard Stern.
Life is a rock, not the
Times calls it an impressive tool. CNN says it's a must-have for travelers. And the Wall Street Journal claims it worked flawlessly. With GoToMyPC.com, you can always have complete and secure access to anything on your office PC from anywhere there's an internet connection. It's fast, it's easy, and it's secure. Log in from any computer in the world, and GoToMyPC will allow you to work with all your programs and files, email, and network resources, just like you were sitting at your desk. Stop carrying your bulky laptop everywhere. No more copying important files back and forth between computers. Try it free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the radio listener button and enter promo code SiriusRadio. That's GoToMyPC.com. Radio listener button, promo code SiriusRadio. Try GoToMyPC.com now, free for 45 days. You'll love it.
How do you teach conversation skills to a toddler? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Start by kneeling down and making eye contact with your young child. Limit the amount of words you use and keep the message simple. Allow your toddler enough time to respond to what you've just said. Keep in mind that during these early years, you're teaching far more than word recognition. You're actually modeling for your toddler proper ways to communicate with future teachers, peers, employers, and perhaps their own family one day. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
The average parent thinks they're prepared for a medical emergency. They know if their child has allergies or how to call 911. But the average parent doesn't know how to treat severe burns or what to do when a child stops breathing. You can't always prevent emergencies, but you can be better prepared. Call 1-888-ASK-HRSA for more information. That's toll-free, 1-888-ASK-HRSA. Brought to you by the Emergency Medical Services for Children.
How the Republicans sort of deviously tried to get around the tax-exempt status of most religious institutions by asking congregants to give them the congregation list and doing this stuff. Are there any court cases in pending now around that stuff?
Well, there are a number of IRS investigations. Frankly, the effort by the Republican National Committee to get those lists of members of churches was a huge flop, a big fiasco. Nobody would do it. Even the conservative churches balked at doing that. But there are about 20 active investigations now by the Internal Revenue Service of other tactics where churches went out of their way generally to try to reelect President Bush. I don't know if we talked about it last time, but had a guy down in Arkansas who gave he calls it a sermon, I'd call it a pep rally, where he'd put up a picture of George Bush and say, one candidate supports a war against terrorism. And then he on another screen would put up a, shall we say, not so delightful photograph of John Kerry and say, the other candidate doesn't even know we're in a war on terrorism, just thinks we should file more lawsuits. And he went back and forth with all these issues, making the president look like a candidate for sainthood and John Kerry looking like he belongs in the House of Horrors Wax Museum in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
And that distinction, we filed a complaint with the IRS. The IRS is, I hope and I presume, investigating that. There's a backlog, of course, that makes it sometimes take a year or more before they get around to announcing the results. But the truth is, this is an important project of ours. You cannot have tax-exempt organizations not playing by the same rules as other tax-exempt organizations, and then saying, well, wait a minute, we're above the law. We have a special right because we're religious. And the last poll done by the Pew Research folks, who are a very reliable polling service, indicates that close to two-thirds of Americans agree with us that there should not be partisan political activity in America's churches. This is one of those issues, again, where the majority is on our side.
Great.
It's not on the side of the religious right.
Great. Let's take a quick call for the Reverend Lynn. James, listening to The Quake in San Francisco. Good morning.
Hi, James.
It's great to hear you guys. And quickly, before I ask the Reverend a question, I just wanted to make a quick comment about John Ashcroft. We're talking about a little earlier, and the only reason that John Ashcroft had the statue of justice draped like that was he simply was getting tired of being upstaged by another boob.
That's good. Okay.
But actually, I had a question. I don't want you to get rid of me that quickly.
No.
Don't the people on the right, even the most devoutly religious, don't they realize that it takes a secular nation, a secular a country with our history that allows their very religion to flourish?
Yeah, thanks for your question, James. Barry?
Yeah, no, James, that's absolutely right. You know, the purpose of having a First Amendment that protects religious freedom is to keep not just the religion from running the government, but also to keep governments from running religions. One of the reasons we have 2,000 different religions in this country and 10 to 20 million free thinkers, humanists, non-believers is because we do have the right to go out there, make the case, make the pitch, and some people are going to buy it. Other people are going to reject it. But the last thing we need and the last thing religious people need is any, quote, help, unquote, from the government. Every time they try to help us, they hurt us, and that's exactly what the Constitution was designed to protect us against.
I have sort of a pet question of my own, Barry. If you really believe...
I have a pet dog.
Okay. If you really believe in a particular dogma or religion, is it really possible to accept other religions as being equal?
Well, it depends, again, on your theology, but I think a lot of us understand that there are multiple ways in which you can look at the world of the spiritual, that you can have differing views about the nature of God, and that even if you believe it, that yours is the only right way, you've got to also believe that it's not up to government to force that belief on other people, but for you to be more persuasive using the arguments you have at your disposal to try to change other people's mind. I mean, that's what this country's all about.
Right.
The freedom of speech allows that, permits
right.
and encourages it.
So you have to suspend your religious bigotry to respect the Constitution.
Absolutely, and it doesn't mean you have to give up all your religious ideas. There are plenty of places. You know, if people invite me, and they do, in spite of what Jerry Falwell recently told the New York Times, which is that Barry Lynn never preaches ever. He's never given a sermon in his life. Not true. In fact, I volunteered once on Crossfire with him to go and preach all of his services one Sunday morning, and his response was, I wouldn't let you preach in a corner, which I thought was a little bit rude
for right.
a man of God. But nevertheless, somebody wants me to preach and preach about what I believe religiously, I'm happy to do that, but when I run an organization like Americans United for Separation of Church and State at AU.org, or when I am appearing on radio or television programs, that's not what I'm about. I'm not supposed to be a preacher. I'm supposed to be talking about the Constitution and how it allows for religious freedom for everyone.
Well, let's take another call from Oakland, listening to The Quake. Patricia, good morning.
Hey, Patricia.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
Good.
I haven't gone to Vancouver or Paris yet.
Oh, thank goodness.
What's going
still
on?
Still with
you
us.
You guys encouraged me to hang out one day at a time, so that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
But my parents are evangelical Christians. My brother and sister-in-law are conservative Catholics. And I just want us to talk a little bit about the way that we are talking about these folks. When you use words like delusional,
I used it.
Yeah, it concerns me a bit on a personal level, because if you were to know these people, they are, you know, they love their family, they love their kids, they, you know, they love their neighbors, they are kind, they are
okay,
gentle.
Okay, I get where you're going. We don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, so on a personal level, there may be another way for us to discuss.
Right. Well, that's my issue, and I'll take that up with you. And I don't know if Barry can address that issue. We don't have that much time with him, but thanks for your call, Patricia.
Appreciate it.
So, yeah, no, I mean, I agree that we've got to recognize that all of these people are people who possibly are, you know, have these deep-seated and honest beliefs. We also, though, have to make it clear that we think it's wrong. And sometimes over that Thanksgiving table, and I've got families just like the caller describes, you have to say, you know something, I respect what you believe, but I also respect not only the Constitution as an abstraction, but the values that it presents for America, the idea that everyone is free, even free to make mistakes sometimes about what they believe or what they think, but that's all part and parcel of the American system. It's only when you get to the level of some of these guys like Patrick Mahoney that I would just have to, you know, I do call them liars because that's what they are.
Right.
That's objectively true. But for people and your families and the average person on the street, you got to keep the dialogue going, but you also have to recognize that 18% of them have been that way for a long time.
Okay.
They believe it. They ain't going to change because we tell them.
Okay. Thank you so much, Reverend Barry Lynn. It's great talking to you.
Great talking to you, Rev.
Always fun.
Okay, take care. So every Wednesday we bring you the latest news from the front lines of the four-year global war being waged by the Bush administration. Here now is war correspondent Mark Milfington with today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Thank you, Tommy.
Oh.
Dateline, Atlanta, Georgia, heart of the old Confederacy and proud host of the Wayne Williams Child Kill-Off of 1981. It is now November 10th, 4 AC. After Clinton. As rosy fingered dawn casts her stark illumination upon the Bush re-election, round two of civilized man's worst nightmare, our hero once again finds himself bounding uncontrollably through the china shop of reason. And like a turd tossed into a punch bowl, Bush's doctrine against science sends ripples of stink throughout the realm, staining all it touches with its amorphous fecundiosity. Item, the city of Atlanta, now the focus of an important battle. Its country's, its county's school board clearly did not learn the lesson of the fiery ass whooping General Sherman heaped upon this muggy armpit during the Spanish-American War. For 2 years ago, they voted to paste stickers promoting creationism as science in all their biology textbooks. Shameful ignominious. County school officials claim their stickers simply encourage students to open up their minds. You know, like the good old days when their ancestors used to drill holes in people's skulls and let the evil spirits out. But now, six brave parents, backed by the mighty chapter of the Georgia ACLU, currently headquartered in a Greyhound bus terminal locker, are taking the city to court for unlawful promotion of religion. The trial is expected to last 4 days, just long enough for local hucksters to sell some hot dogs, hold a funny monkey show, and lynch the parents after the press leaves. That bombs. And the same kind of battle is being waged all over the country. In such havens of free thinking as Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, and yes, even Kansas. Soon, my friends, the creationists will come for you. For the will of George W. Bush is everywhere, like an unconquerable spirit almost. Don't you think so, Mark?
I'm not really following you, Mort.
It doesn't matter what you do, Mark. Wherever there's a cop beating up on a guy, he'll be there. Wherever there's a pretzel being coughed up on a rug, he'll be there. He'll be there in the way kids laugh when the retarded are executed.
Oh.
It's your line, Mark.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't understand, Mark. What are you talking about?
Me neither, Ma. But me neither, Ma, but just something I've been thinking about. And that's today's dispatch from
The War on Brains.
Oh, yes. That was great. I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm looking at this thing. It wasn't written the way you said it. You know what? You know what, Mort?
What's
I've
that?
Had it. I've had it with you, man.
Thanks for dropping the ball on that one, fella.
Oh, my God.
We got another hour of this coming up here on Air America Radio. Stay with us.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. One, name one Hollywood director. Two, name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number three, name one comedian. Four, name one game show host. Five, name one professional athlete. Number six, name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Uncensored,
uncensored,
uncut,
uncut.
Satellite Fresh,
Satellite Fresh.
Serious, it's on.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza. Iraqi Prime Minister Ayad Alawi has 48 hours to rescue three relatives. An Islamic group taking credit for the abduction is threatening to kill three of the Alawi's relatives if Alawi doesn't free all detainees in Iraq and lift the siege on Fallujah. A government spokesman confirms only two relatives were abducted. The official says gunmen seized Alawi's cousin and the cousin's daughter-in-law from their Baghdad home last night. A nationwide poll shows a broader range of concerns among liberal Christians. The poll conducted by Zogby International for three liberal Christian groups says it may be time for the Democratic Party to reevaluate their positions. Speaking on Air America's Morning Sedition, the Reverend Barry Lynn, Executive Director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, says the religious right should not be dictating which moral issues are relevant.
All of us said, you know, we vote values too. It's just that we don't vote these narrow, bigoted values that the religious right likes to talk about. We actually think that issues like hunger in America, like child poverty, health care, and the Constitution of the United States are values worth talking about and describing as values. You know, who in the world gave Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, and James Dobson the right to tell us what the only moral issues on the planet happen to be?
Commenting in today's Washington Post, Jim Wallace, the editor of the liberal evangelical journal Sojourner, says if the Democratic Party were to welcome pro-life Democrats, Catholics, and evangelicals and have a serious conversation with them, it would work wonders. The Reverend Jerry Falwell is launching a new coalition called the Faith and Values Coalition. The founder of the Moral Majority says he wants to ride the momentum generated by voters who cited moral values in their support of President Bush. Speaking to Pat Robertson on the Christian Broadcasting Network 2 days after the 9/11 attack on the World Trade Center, Falwell spoke about the secularization of America as the cause for the attacks.
I really believe that the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for the American Way, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face and say, you helped this happen.
According to Falwell, the new coalition has several mandates to see that the court vacancies are filled with anti-abortion conservatives, support a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage, and elect another George Bush-type conservative in 2008. Two down, with more resignations expected, Attorney General John Ashcroft and Commerce Secretary Don Evans have offered to leave their respective posts. Bush says Ashcroft served with honor and worked tirelessly to help make our country safer. Evans, a longtime friend of the president, helped the president champion his plans to cut taxes. Bush praised his efforts, saying he tried to advance economic security and prosperity for all Americans. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
Don't settle for stale talk radio. Get guaranteed freshness with the new Stephanie Miller Show. Irreverent comedy and liberal attitude. All freshness dated for your protection. Get fresh with Stephanie Miller. 9 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Left 143. Right after the Young Turks and before Alan Cole. Sirius Left and Stephanie Miller. The Freshmakers.
The New York Times calls it an impressive tool. CNN says it's a must-have for travelers. And the Wall Street Journal claims it worked flawlessly. With GoToMyPC.com, you can always have complete and secure access to anything on your office PC from anywhere there's an internet connection. It's fast, it's easy, and it's secure. Log in from any computer in the world, and GoToMyPC will allow you to work with all your programs and files, email, and network resources, just like you were sitting at your desk. Stop carrying your bulky laptop everywhere. No more copying important files back and forth between computers. Try it free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the radio listener button and enter promo code SiriusRadio. That's GoToMyPC.com. Radio listener button, promo code SiriusRadio. Try GoToMyPC.com now, free for 45 days. You'll love it.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Beth wants to know if cashing out her mutual funds to pay off her home is a good idea. My advice to her after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Beth wants to know if she should cash out some mutual funds.
We're considering selling some mutual funds to downpay our mortgage, and we're wondering if that would make sense.
Are they inside of a retirement account?
No. No, we have...
How much are the mutual funds worth?
$200,000.
And how much is your mortgage?
$95,000.
Let's pretend your home is paid for and that you only had $100,000 in mutual funds. Would you go borrow $95,000 on your home to put more in mutual funds?
No, I would just take all the money that I would be paying on my mortgage toward investing.
That's a great answer. It also tells us that you ought to cash out your mutual funds today and pay off your mortgage. Because if you wouldn't borrow on a paid-for house to end up with $200,000 in mutual funds, then taking out $100,000 to have a paid-for house is the exact same math. I can tell you that if I woke up in your shoes today, Trish, and I take my old house payment, just like you so wisely said a while ago, and use that to build my mutual funds back up to $200,000, I'd be out of debt instantaneously.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, how are you? Nice to see you. Geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, angry, seething people, people with ultimatums, people who think they know what's best for the show and how we should do it. Good morning to you. Nice to see you. Unless you've already gone away to listen to jazz music angrily. I want to say that Ashcroft, this means to celebrate, is leaving. John Ashcroft is leaving his post, Mark Riley, as
yes.
You know. And he left a memo that a lot of people didn't realize. This was a memo to the next attorney general. Outside of also saying in his letter to the president, he said the objective of securing safety of America from crime and terror has been achieved. Don't you feel relieved and safe?
I feel safe.
Well, wait till you hear this memo he left for the next attorney general. Dear sir or madam, but probably sir because Eve corrupted Adam, and this is no job for wicked concubines. As you know, since I personally banished terrorism, crime, drugs, and all impure thoughts, I shall now step aside, but not in a way that could ever be mistaken for dancing. To ease the transition, here are some helpful hints. One, terror alerts should be used only to distract from embarrassing presidential gaffes. Since this happens with surprising frequency, don't be afraid of code red. Red is your friend. If there's an actual terror threat, counter with extra prayer meetings. Two, think of the prison at Guantanamo as a recycling bin. Anything you don't want should be checked in there. Don't worry about a trial, terrorists, foreigners, funny-looking people, dirty dancers, secular humanists, of all kinds could all benefit from some quiet time down south. The abortionist wing should be completed by April. Three, think of the Patriot Act as a way to keep our freedom safe from the onslaught of civil liberties. It can be used to justify any kind of corrective discipline, and since it was divinely inspired, it's not subject to interpretation by activist judges. Remember, the Patriot Act is the only thing standing between the people and pleasure. If the road seems rough and everyone is against you, remember Job chapter 6, verse 5. If you don't know Job chapter 6, verse 5, well, you wouldn't be reading this. God bless John Ashcroft. P.S. The bathroom stalls have no doors intentionally to avoid to avoid temptation. Now on the phone to discuss John Ashcroft. No?
Not just yet. We've got one other thing we got to do before we go in. We have to give our listeners another taste of the wit and the wisdom of our outgoing Attorney General, His Majesty John Ashcroft.
It behooves all of us to be alert, and obviously this year is no exception.
Several upcoming events over the next few months may suggest especially attractive targets for such an Al-Qaeda attack. These events include the G8 summit hosted by the United States in Georgia, the Democratic Party convention in Boston this summer, or the Republican Party convention in New York City. Credible intelligence from multiple sources indicates that Al-Qaeda plans to attempt an attack on the United States in the next few months. Associates of the hijackers that have ties to terrorist organizations may be a continuing presence in the United States. Intelligence sources suggest that ideal Al-Qaeda operatives may now be in their late 20s or early 30s and may travel with a family to lower their profile. Al-Qaeda may perceive that a large-scale attack in the United States this summer or fall would lead to similar consequences.
I'm not going to start going down a catalog of cities.
Boston.
Say one city or another.
New York City. May suggest may be a continuing presence. May now be in their late 20s or early 30s. Al-Qaeda may proceed. May travel with a family.
It behooves all of us to be alert. And obviously this year is no exception.
I am so alert right now for our guest, who is the criminal justice correspondent for Time Magazine. Elaine Shannon joins us this morning. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning. I'm alert, too.
Good morning.
Why is this this demonic person, why is he stepping down at this time, this Ashcroft fella?
John Ashcroft, well, I think he has some good points, but and so does the White House, particularly right before the election. But after the election, they've decided that he needs to move on. He has been a lightning rod to the administration. He's been blamed for a lot of things that he didn't really think of, or like enemy combatants. That came out of the White House.
Uh-huh.
It's fine with them for him to take the heat for it.
Right.
But he is genuinely fatigued. They meet over there at 6 a.m. and they finish every day at I don't know, 8 or 9.
So he's burnt out.
It's a burnout job. The president has an opportunity, which we understand he'd really like to take, which is to appoint the first black attorney general, Larry Thompson. So that's what my money is on. Larry was Ashcroft's deputy and was basically the chief operating officer, the guy who made the engine run.
Now, does he want it, though? There are reports that he really doesn't want it. He just got a job with PepsiCo, which I'm sure pays a lot more money.
Yeah, it does. And he made a financial sacrifice to take the job of deputy attorney general. I think, though, it's pretty hard to turn down the president.
Right.
He appeals to you personally. And it's pretty hard to turn down a spot in history. I've heard that he's also interested in Department of Homeland Security. He's
taking Ridge's place?
What?
Taking Tom Ridge's place?
Yes, Ridge is expected to go too, but we'll see. If Larry really can't be persuaded to leave PepsiCo, then there are plenty of others who would like the job. I don't know whether Mark Rasko wants it, but he's certainly being mentioned for it. He's ran the re-election campaign.
Well, Alberto Gonzalez, the special counsel to President Bush, would certainly reward the Latino community for upping their support from, what, 35 to 42, 44?
Yes, and it would reward Alberto Gonzalez for taking a tough stand, some say too tough, during the early months of the war and right after 9/11 when he wrote some memos having to do with the treatment of Al-Qaeda detainees. And
so how do you think the Justice Department will be defined by whoever is in there? More conservative, if that's possible, or less?
I don't think that we're going to see a real diminishment of the conservatism or the aggressive law enforcement stance of the Justice Department. You know, there's several stripes of conservatives. Some of them believe in small government and as little government action as possible. Some are quite libertarian, and they object to what Ashcroft has done on those grounds, and they have made common cause with the left-wing libertarians. But Larry Thompson, like Ashcroft, fully supported changes, the Patriot Act changes, changes in the Attorney General guidelines and in the process for getting warrants for national security, that is terrorism wiretaps, to make it easier to do that, to make it easier for FBI agents to go into mosques, libraries, wherever they felt they needed to go. Mm. So it's been a pro-law enforcement, pro-FBI department, and I don't think that's going to change. And so controversy will continue, but the person that's picked will probably be less abrasive and less of a lightning rod than Ashcroft.
Elaine Shannon, thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. She is the criminal justice correspondent for Time Magazine. It's a tough call, man. President of the United States or popular soft drink company?
No brainer for me.
Well, what's going to be around longer? Obviously Pepsi.
Yeah.
What's going to have a stronger legacy? I don't know. You know, it's hard to know. Coke, Pepsi, G.W. Bush. I don't know.
Think he's got kids in college, like Tom Ridge? Maybe that's going to be the determining factor.
Yeah, but I mean, you know.
Maybe he needs a new pair of shoes.
I don't know. I'm a Coca-Cola guy myself, so it's hard for me to judge. 15 past the hour. We'll be back with Richard Ben Kramer to talk.
Yeah, and we got some new developments coming out of the Middle East about the PLO, too.
Right,
so
now?
Actually, when we come back, we'll be able to talk to Richard Ben Kramer about it.
Wow, all right. So it's 15 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Ask your doctor if morning sedition is right for you. Then listen anyway. Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
If you're looking to save big this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel, call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40x60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50x100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL.
Fox redefined suspense with the critically acclaimed series 24. Now we're redefining the medical drama with a groundbreaking new show from the director of X-Men. Meet Dr. Gregory House and his extraordinary team of doctors. Together, they take on the cases that no one else can solve.
I'm not talking about a treatment. I'm talking about a cure.
Disease has met its match. House, a new drama, premiering this Tuesday at 9, 8 Central on Fox.
Well, Mr. Quinton, I have your loan application here. I see you want to finance one of our big screen TVs.
Oh, yeah, I love that TV.
Of course you do. The thing is, your credit report has a few hiccups or bumps.
Bumps, yes.
What we call red flags or warnings.
You see, I can...
Actually, you have huge gaping chasms of incredibly bad decision-making.
Okay, I can explain.
I mean, monumental credit mistakes. I mean, phenomenally ridiculous. Laughable, really. I mean, oh, Mr. Quinton... I gotta frame this one.
Before you go for a loan, be prepared with Score Power from Equifax. You'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score, all for just $14.95. It's the first step to getting the things you want. So check out Score Power at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Get the power. Score Power at Equifax.com.
Don't settle for stale talk radio. Get guaranteed freshness with the new Stephanie Miller Show. Irreverent comedy and liberal attitude. All freshness dated for your protection. Get fresh with Stephanie Miller. 9 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Left 143. Right after the Young Turks and before Alan Cole. Sirius Left and Stephanie Miller. The Freshmakers.
Are you significant? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. The dictionary defines significant as someone who is noteworthy, valuable, or important. In our culture, we determine our significance by what we have, what we do for a living, and by comparing ourselves to others. But none of these are really good definitions. We should not look at outward signs and appearances to determine our significance. Instead, we should look at our hearts. An ancient proverb says, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
In today's world, all voices must be heard. That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can flush a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
The hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Morning's tradition. We're talking it up. Right now, it's like our guy Ray Ray, the guy who gets us the Palm Pilot undercovers, now has access to all the Palm Pilots in the administration. And today we have John Ashcroft's schedule. 5:30 a.m. Wake up. Check for erection. If present, smite it. 6:30 a.m. Breakfast. Check cereal bowl for masturbators. 8 a.m. Prayer meeting note. As female employees kneel, avert mine eyes. 9 a.m. Vocal lesson. Note, let's get a little edgy today. Pull out Anne Murray's songbook. 9:30 a.m. Go to office. Begin cleaning out desk. Contents, Bible, 2 paper clips, anointing oil, Wonder Bread. 12 noon, wait for rapture. 4 p.m. Check draped statues for possible nipple transgressions. 8 p.m. Marital relations. 8:30 p.m. Shame, flagellation, redemption, bedtime. There you go. On the phone, we're going to talk about the Middle East in terms of Palestinians, Israelis. It's not something we talk a lot about. We're hopefully going to talk a bit more about it in the future. We have a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, the author of How Israel Lost the 4 Questions. Richard Ben Kramer is with us. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm okay. So is Arafat dead? Is he alive? What's happening?
Well, they didn't tell me, but...
We didn't tell us either, but we're speculating that he might be dead and they're trying to get organized.
I doubt it because there are too many Frenchmen saying that he's not dead. He's more or less dead as far as statecraft, and I don't think they quite know what to do yet.
Well, we just got a report. Yeah, Mark Riley, go ahead.
Yeah, it says that they're not going to change the succession laws in the event that Yasser Arafat does die soon. They say that the Palestinian parliament speaker will become temporary president of the Palestinian Authority. That is Salim al-Zanoun. What do you know about him?
I don't know much about him. He's, if I remember right, he's an Arafat crony, basically, who was put in to keep the Palestinian legislature in line after they passed some embarrassing resolutions. But basically, it's a time-keeping measure. You know, they what they what they want to do is make a gesture of loyalty and continuity at this point.
Ah.
So what's the biggest obstacle they're going to face if Arafat dies?
Well, they have no line of succession. Arafat would never permit one.
Right.
And in the absence of a clear line of succession, what's basically happened is that the chiefs of the security services are binding those services to them more or less as private armies.
Right.
So probably in an official sense, there'll be some kind of rule by committee of Arafat's senior lieutenants. But in the final analysis, the power goes to the men with the guns.
Now, Yasser Arafat controlled not just the Palestinian Authority, but the PLO, the Palestine Liberation Organization, and Fatah. Do you anticipate that whoever succeeds him will also control all three organizations, or will that responsibility be split?
Well, you know, it depends whether you're talking about on paper or
in fact.
If you're talking about in fact, the guy with the power will have the power. And, you know, if they're, if the formal succession does not fall to him, then, he'll still be the guy to deal with.
Mm-hmm. And how is Sharon going to handle this? I don't really know, you know, specific or the nuances of the dynamics of a peace process or if there is actually one in place right now, but how will this be handled by Sharon's government?
Well, Sharon will look for every advantage, and the way he defines advantage is how to weaken the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think Israel's advantage is precisely the opposite. What Israel would really benefit from is a strong Palestinian leadership that could keep its own citizens in line and pursue a moderate line without fear of some kind, you know, being outflanked on the nationalist side. But Sharon's whole life has been about weakening the Palestinians and making sure that they had no leadership and had no chance of developing a nationalist, you know, people who thought for the nation as a whole. So I would expect him to take every advantage and try to drive wedges between the Palestinian factions.
Richard Ben Kramer, can whoever succeeds Yasser Arafat, whoever has the power after Yasser Arafat's passing, can they be strong and moderate at the same time? Can they appear strong to the Palestinian people while being moderate in their dealings with both the Israelis and the U.S.?
Well, it depends what they get for their moderation. You know, Arafat's problem, the reason he lost so much ground to Hamas and Islamic Jihad, the other ultra-Islamic groups in recent years, is because his policy of negotiations got the Palestinians precisely nothing. They, in fact, the occupation was tightened, there were more settlements. A much more draconian presence by the Israeli army. So Arafat was seen as a cave-in and a toady of the Israelis, and that's why the young people have been following the ultra-Islamic groups, not because they suddenly found God, but because the ultra-Islamic groups were seen as the only parties that were actually pursuing a strategy of resistance.
Is there going to be some sort of infighting behind the jihadists and the Palestinians, you know, now that Arafat's dead, and you're saying that a lot of the younger people are drawn more towards...
Absolutely, there'll be a struggle. And the question is, does the new guy, whoever that is, have the power to actually do anything against the Islamic groups? Or does he have to bide his time and make deals like Arafat has to do?
Right. Well, you know what? Thanks a lot for your time, Richard Ben Kramer. Really appreciate talking to you.
Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Good luck, fellas.
All right, okay, you take care.
So did you say that he covered that already? Was I in the research?
No. No, because you said now that Arafat's dead.
Oh. I'm sorry. Well, you know what? He's not dead yet, but he's close.
Yeah, he is very,
I guess I was thinking
close.
Ahead. It's so rarely that happens. I was thinking ahead. So we'll be back. If you want to call us, 866-303-2270 is our number. We have the Bush. We've got Planet Bush coming up. We've got
the Liberal Agenda.
We've got me and you. We've got your phone calls. I'm going crazy, man. I keep feeling my teeth because they're clean now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a great feeling, I bet you.
It is.
It's Air America Radio.
Lose 30 pounds in 30 days? Or how about eat whatever you want and still lose weight? Look, you and I both know that is not going to happen. I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and I'd probably be the first to sign up for that magic pill that makes diet and exercise irrelevant. But until that day, I'm content to be one of 100,000 plus folks who haven't just ordered Cortislim once. They've ordered Cortislim again. So many people have found that Cortislim is part of an absolutely brilliant lifestyle of managing daily stress. Why? Because stress leads to problems like gaining weight. We believe that good health involves diet, exercise, supplementation, and Cortislim. And I want you to have Dr. Talbot's Total Sense program free with your order. Look, the holidays are here, and stress and overeating is a problem. This is your chance to step off that scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle. Call 1-800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN.
Don't settle for stale talk radio. Get guaranteed freshness with the new Stephanie Miller Show. Irreverent comedy and liberal attitude. All freshness dated for your protection. Get fresh with Stephanie Miller. 9 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Left 143. Right after the Young Turks and before Alan Cole. Sirius Left and Stephanie Miller, the Freshmakers.
The New York Times calls it an impressive tool. CNN says it's a must-have for travelers. And the Wall Street Journal claims it worked flawlessly. With GoToMyPC.com, you can always have complete and secure access to anything on your office PC from anywhere there's an internet connection. It's fast, it's easy, and it's secure. Log in from any computer in the world, and GoToMyPC will allow you to work with all your programs and files, email, and network resources, just like you were sitting at your desk. Stop carrying your bulky laptop everywhere. No more copying important files back and forth between computers. Try it free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the radio listener button and enter promo code SiriusRadio. That's GoToMyPC.com. Radio listener button, promo code SiriusRadio. Try GoToMyPC.com now, free for 45 days. You'll love it.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Jill needs help in starting an allowance program with her children. My advice after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Jill has questions about her kids' allowances.
I have a question about children and allowance. I understand that the work equals money philosophy. How do you balance that with contributing to your household through doing chores?
Well, we do both. If we only contribute to the household just because you're a member of the family, and you should do that, you lose all the teachable moments of earned money. And that you lose the ability to give them the emotional connection between work and money, that work creates money. Mm-hmm. At our house, we have both things we do. Some things you do because I said so. But in other words, they're for the good of the family, and I just want you to do them, and I do stuff for you, and you're going to do stuff for me. And other things we do as a part of our commission program, work, get paid, don't work, don't get paid, so that they earn money, and with the earned money, they think differently about saving, about spending, and about giving.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Good.
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. And you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer. Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade. Where are those hedges?
Dad, please.
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the cat.
The cat. Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Before past the hour, I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. You're listening to Air America Radio. This is the morning sedition program.
And we're positive about that.
I'm pretty darn sure. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 135. Leaders of Iraq. Ah, everybody's up this morning. So the battle in Fallujah is kicked into high gear. Exciting, isn't it? And alongside our fighting forces are a bunch of Iraqi National Guardsmen. If you're expecting them to make the difference in this war, let me throw a bucket of water on that witch. Oh. The National Guard is the B team, weekend warriors, a rotary club with guns. Over here, National Guardsmen are called citizen soldiers. Notice citizen comes first. So that means most of these guys would much, much, much rather be bowling or burning weenies on the grill than checking under the Toyotas for explosives. And throw in the fact that your guardsmen are probably related to the insurgents you're supposed to be killing, and it all gets a little too touchy-feel. Exactly. Remember, this George W. Bush... Remember this, George W. Bush was in the National Guard, okay? Does that tell you about the level of commitment we're dealing with here? If Bush thought he'd be anywhere near real combat, he would have run the other way. And I don't see W. shooting his relatives. Well, not on purpose, anyway. So remember, the National Guard never guarded anyone's nation. You might want to think about calling them something else. So good luck and God bless, and by God, I mean our God. This is day 135 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Live Free or Die. Robin in Michigan, listening to WLBY, good morning.
Hi, Robin.
Yes, hello.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Well, I think from what I've been listening to, there's been sort of a failure to attack or criticize the Democrats and the Kerry campaign for mistakes that have been made that didn't allow them to do a better job.
Mm.
And I hate to do this, but a couple things that come to mind to me are the failure to get proper Iraq casualty data into the public consciousness.
Interesting.
Basically, we know the McLaughlin Group has been reporting much higher medical evacuees from Iraq, probably reaching at least 30,000.
Yes.
These numbers were never part of the mainstream news.
That's an interesting point that, you know, I think he was too concerned that he would be accused of politicizing the war than to take those type of tactics and to put that kind of truth out there in his campaign.
Well, why didn't the media start doing that? I remember during the Iran hostage crisis, there was always a counter on the evening news showing how many days these people had been held.
Sure.
And we didn't see anything like this on the mainstream news.
Well, are you talking, Robin, about Iraqi casualties?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Now here's the problem with Iraqi casualties, and this came up as the American troops went into Fallujah. The Americans got a different way of counting than the Iraqis. The Americans felt that the Iraqis, particularly the Iraqis that worked in hospitals, were overstating the number of dead and wounded.
I mean, I'm sorry, I'm talking about U.S. casualties.
U.S. casualties.
Well,
that's a whole different thing.
You know, this president, our president, he's been very deliberate in not addressing war deaths. He's been very deliberate in not even allowing photographs of coffins to be, you know, put in newspapers. There was some media attention about that, you know, he has really distanced himself from the idea of the reality
that Americans are dying. He doesn't even go to military funerals.
Yes, I understand all of that. What's important, I think, is the failure of the media not to demand actual casualty numbers and get those numbers reported. The Marines are very bad at reporting these. The Army isn't much better.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the numbers are much lower than the official numbers being released by the DOD.
Okay.
The casualty numbers in August alone were about 1,100. And had to be close to
that's casualties, not killed.
Okay.
Yes,
that's total.
Yes,
killed or wounded.
Killed, we have a pretty good idea of what those numbers are. I'm talking about people that are actual medical casualties.
Well, you know, we'll investigate this here on our show because tomorrow is Veterans Day. It'd be an important
yes.
thing to talk about. I appreciate you bringing up the conversation, Robin.
Thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, that is interesting that you don't hear those numbers. And they don't. Well, I guess because the numbers maybe are inconsistent and it's hard
to get numbers. But, Mark, in fairness to some media, there have been a number of reports in newspapers, certainly here in the New York area,
mm-hmm.
that have dealt with some of the obstacles that people who have been wounded in Iraq have had to face, even in getting back home and getting the proper treatment near their homes.
Well, I heard the number she said. What did she say, like 30 or 40,000
yeah.
people who are injured and people who are dealing with lost limbs? And also other syndromes and other injuries. Tomorrow, hopefully we'll be able to talk about that with a little clarity in terms of, you know, because it is Veterans Day tomorrow, yes?
Yes, it is.
And I think it would be a great topic
to take
up. Roy in Westchester, how are you?
Hey, Roy, how you doing?
Hello, good morning. I wanted to just remind you, I'm an Episcopalian, and my church has a very progressive agenda.
Me too. I'm Episcopalian, and my church has a very progressive agenda.
Well, the church overall.
I'm a Jew. I don't go to church.
I don't want you to think that all religious people are way out there.
Oh, no. Let me tell you something. We had Bishop Gene Robinson here with us in the studio.
Yes, I know. Good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
No, I want you to know, how can I join Americans United for Separation of Church and State?
Oh, Reverend Barry Lynn's organization.
Did you go to the website?
Yeah, go to the website, morningsedition.com. I believe we have a link to his organization.
What is that again?
Morningsedition.com.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the phone call. You have yourself a great day as well. Yeah, hopefully we'll get some folks active in Reverend Barry Lynn's organization. We'll get some folks to start looking seriously at the issue of church and state. You want to go to the next call? Let's go to Curtis, who's calling us from Phoenix, Arizona. Curtis, how you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Good.
Right.
What's on your mind?
I'm just kind of curious. Why do you guys want to separate church and state? Because isn't that the way this country was founded?
Nope.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, then why did we come over here from England?
Because we weren't
able to practice our religious beliefs. That's why we came here.
Well, no, that's not how. That's not why
but
my
that,
ancestors came here. I can tell you that right now.
That is not what the country was founded on.
Yeah, there's a difference between why people came here, and remember that the people that were seeking religious freedom then proceeded to hang people in this country. You remember around 1692?
Mm-hmm.
They proceeded to hang people that had different beliefs from them.
I don't recall that.
The Salem witch trials, you don't recall?
And also you have to realize that Washington and Franklin and Jefferson, none of them were Christians.
Yeah, but they had moral values, more than what John Kerry and Boy Wonder had.
Yeah, but that's moral values is relative. It doesn't, you know, you're asking about church and state. I mean, you know,
that
Christian, you know, moral values and Christianity don't necessarily have to go hand in hand. Morality is not, you know, in any way.
It's not the sole province of Christianity. That's
or religion.
Sure.
Okay.
And also the reason that fundamentally that church and state has to be separated is because, you know, if the state is aligned with one specific church, you know, what happens to the diverse belief systems of the American people? What happens to the fundamental freedom of expression and belief if it's dictated by one specific religion or organization? I personally don't necessarily believe in God, and I don't necessarily practice a religion I'm in. What's to say that in a country where church and state is not separated, that people like me wouldn't be rounded up and put in a cave? What's to say that?
Put it up in a cage. What are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about that. If you let one religion or one ideology dictate the momentum of the country.
Honestly, think that's going to happen. You think you're going to be round up and put in a cage?
The Inquisition already happened.
State religion?
I mean,
yeah.
Of course, the state religion it can't function that way and still have a free country.
Do you have any idea how ridiculous you liberals sound?
What about, but wait, how ridiculous do you sound going against the Constitution? Do you understand the idea of America?
The separation of church and state is in the Constitution of the United States. Now, if you really have a beef with it, you might want to talk to some of the founders.
Why would you want everybody to believe what you believe specifically? Is that really a free country, or is that just sort of narrow-mindedness?
I don't want everybody to believe what I believe.
But
I think that people should be free to believe whatever they want to believe.
Okay, good. So then there can't be
any agreement.
And then there has to be a separation of church and state, doesn't there?
Yes, but I think...
Okay.
I mean, that's all we're saying.
Okay, thanks a lot, man.
whatever.
I don't understand what exactly his question was. You know,
His question was, you liberals. That was his question.
Oh, that's where he was going.
That's definitely where he was
going.
Let's
take another call. Barbara in New York, how are you?
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
I want to talk to you about Richard von Kramer's comments to you.
Well, I hope I can address it with some sort of clarity. Go ahead.
Okay, well, he was pretty wrong about a bunch of things. First of all, he said that the draconian crackdown came about because of Arafat's negotiations with the Israelis, and that's not true. The draconian crackdowns came about when the Intifada started and there was killing going on. And actually, before September 2000, about 95% of the Palestinian cities and the territories were under the control of the PA. So to say that negotiations had gotten the Palestinian people nowhere is simply not true. And other things that he talked about, he said that Sharon is trying to undermine the Palestinian government. They do a pretty good job of it on their own, just with the amount of corruption and the crackdown on freedom of the press. Journalists are not free to speak their minds.
Wait a minute, Barbara, you say that, and that may be 100% true, but that doesn't mean that Sharon isn't trying to undermine him, too.
Well, I think what Sharon is trying to do is break up the terrorist organizations that are attacking Israeli civilians by blowing up buses and shooting rockets into kindergarten nurseries. But they have negotiated, they have given back territories, and they would negotiate with someone who is serious about negotiating. Part of the Oslo Accords was that the PLO was supposed to remove from its charter language calling for the destruction of the State of Israel. And all that they ever did was assign it to committee. The committee never produced language to replace the charter. So officially, they've not kept any promise. You should really talk to Alan Dershowitz on your show, who wrote a book about this.
Okay, thank you, Barbara. We will. We have talked to him before.
We've talked
about
to him
that
before,
particular
actually,
subject, and it would be interesting to engage him in terms of what happens now that Arafat is almost dead. We'll take more of your calls after the break. 866-303-2270.
Mark Maron and Mark Riley, because two marks are better than one. Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
If you're looking to save big this year on a high-quality steel structure from Allied Steel, call 877-99-STEEL. You still have time to add that much-needed workshop, retail, or church space before winter arrives. And our most popular sizes are priced for quick delivery. Get a 40x60 structure for under $18,000 or a 50x100 for under $32,000. Whatever size you need, Allied Steel will answer all of your questions and explain why our structures are the best and most affordable option. Call Allied Steel at 877-99-STEEL.
Planet Check. Just last week, the European Parliament approved a resolution by an overwhelming majority calling for a moratorium on the deployment of military sonar.
We cannot allow the military to be testing and training with a technology that poses the kind of risks that high-intensity military sonar poses to the environment.
That's Joel Reynolds from the Natural Resource Defense Council. Sound is to marine animals like sight is to humans.
And if we interfere with their ability to hear and be heard, we have the potential to injure them in a range of ways, from interfering with behaviors to literally blowing out their brains from the intensity of the sound.
Thanks to the recent decision by the European Parliament, this is a major step in the right direction.
This is a landmark decision, the first decision really by any government anywhere in the world.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows. And my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't cutting it. I still had flakes and dry scalp. So I switched to Celsin Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers. Doctor recommended Celsin Blue has a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff. Plus, it keeps my hair and scalp healthy and flake-free.
If you see flakes, try Celsin Blue. Celsin Blue Moisturizing Dandruff Shampoo.
I'm telling you, it really works.
Never wear black without the blue. Celsin Blue. Use as directed.
There he is.
M&M and rock and chatter. Entertainment's all that matters. Moving easy, good vibrations. Soul review and ragged rhythm. Bluegrass, hip-hop, jazz, and metal. R&B, we push the pedal. Elvis, LQ, left the center. College football, Mexicana. Truckers talking, brewer, tackles, Oscar, Babble, all the scandals. L.A. Houston, Philly, Boston, traffic, first and weather's now. And play-by-play and chance of Burns, B.R.I. and Howard Stern.
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, "I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world." Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Want to influence a child's life? Wear your seatbelt. Research shows that when a driver doesn't wear a seatbelt, 70% of the time the children in that car don't either. And an unbuckled child is in danger. Traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for children. Help us stop unbuckled adults from endangering children's lives. There's just too much to lose. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Buckle Up America.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, "Reconsider your labor practices." A few months later, I get a letter back saying, "Thanks for being a loyal customer," and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Past here, I'll try and put this thing down with your help, Mark Riley. I'm Mark Maron.
I don't know. I got a picture of my daughter up on my computer.
Oh, that's
I'm
nice.
I'm kind of like I'm finished for the
really?
Day now.
This is Morning Sedition, and since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that Americans know what's happening in his alternate universe. Luckily, we have a staffer who lives in that world, and once again, joining us now on the phone from Planet Bush, this correspondent, Lawton Smalls. Good morning, Lawton.
Good morning, Mark. God's got a plan for you, and he's going to smack you in the back of the head with it.
Okay, great, great.
Wow!
That's terrific.
Ow!
Okay, this morning.
Hello.
Yeah. This morning's topic, regrettably, is Iraq again.
Regrettably. Why say that? I think the events of the past few days make two things perfectly clear. We've won the peace. And we just keep winning the war.
What are you talking about?
We win this war
what are you
every day.
What
we
are you
get
talking?
Up, we win it some
people
more.
Are running everywhere, fighting house to house. How can you call that winning, Lawton?
Can you blame them for wanting to celebrate winning the peace with a knight on the town?
No.
Liberals have to rain on everything.
Oh, my God.
Unlike you, Mark Maron, I remember what it's like to be young.
Look, come on. Wait.
I have sowed some wild oats in my
head.
Your ale was flowing.
Listen, Lawton, they're not celebrating. They're engaging in urban warfare. It's one of the most dangerous forms of combat, guerrilla warfare.
Mark, why would urban warfare be any worse than any other kind of warfare?
Because
if you were in the middle of battle, Wouldn't you at least like to know you could hail a taxi if you needed one?
What are you talking about?
You couldn't do that in the country, Mark. You'd just be stuck out
how
there
can
with
you even,
the cow.
How could you even spin it like that? Aren't you just in the least bit upset by the cynicism behind the administration's war strategy? They purposely waited until after the election. What?
Winning the peace.
No. Began the invasion of Fallujah, minimizing the political damage here at home, while at the same time giving insurgents all this time to prepare. You're crazy.
Mark, have you ever been to Fallujah?
No, I have not.
Well, my friend, one day you might go there, and when you're there, you might get hungry, and you might just be in the mood to go to Arby's.
What are you talking about?
When you're eating at Arby's in downtown Fallujah, you'll be grateful for the global vision our president's showing
This is insane. So what you're saying...
winning the peace, Arby's.
Listen to me. You're saying that thousands of young Americans and tens of thousands of innocent Iraqi women and children are dying just so I can have the opportunity to ask for extra horsey sauce with my roast beef and cheddar sandwich? What are you, crazy? That we should ignore the fact that Fallujah is a microcosm of everything that's wrong and false and incompetent about Bush's foreign policy just because one day I'm able to be able to sate my American consumerist longing in an exotic setting? Is that what you're saying, Smalls?
Yes!
Wait,
no.
Yes!
That's
crazy!
No! You don't need roast beef and cheddar!
Okay.
Nobody needs that!
Oh my God.
We go to these countries and we ruin them!
Okay.
For our crap!
Okay.
We just dump big loads of crap all
that's
over
right.
them and say, it's raining! This is good!
All right, that's right.
We hate them!
Okay, all right. You okay, man? Jeez. Every time we talk, you come unglued. Are you all right?
We're winning the peace, Mark.
Oh, no,
I mean, we're winning.
See,
why
see
wouldn't
what happens?
I be okay?
See what happens?
I'm tasting that, Arby.
All right, see, all right, thanks, Mark. Always, always,
I'm hungry now.
Always interesting to talk to you. Once
bye
you get
bye.
Lunch, yeah, bye. Oh, my God. Jason in New Jersey, what's up?
Hey, Jason.
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
All right, how you feeling?
Good. I think I should preface this statement by I am absolutely conservative.
Mm-hmm.
But by saying that, by the way, if the Democrats had put up a better candidate in my mind, I very well may have considered not voting for Bush.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah. Well, part of my issue goes back to what y'all were saying. I agree with you guys 100%.
Which
one of the biggest issues with is the separation of church and state.
Right.
And one of my issues is, you know what? Your morality should not be my morality.
Absolutely.
Guess what? My morality should not be your morality.
Right.
And one of my pet peeves is the fact that Colin Powell's kid is running the FCC.
Yes.
And say what you will about Shock Jock Radio, but you know what? Guess what? If you don't want to listen to it,
turn it off.
Channel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I got a question up for you. Just, you know, because clearly you didn't, you're basically suggesting that you didn't vote against Bush. And I'm just saying, as a conservative, even as a fiscal conservative, and even as, you know, a good American, you know, why didn't you vote against Bush?
Why didn't I?
Yeah.
Kerry's just viewpoints. One of his things is that two things are very important to me in life. One is the security of this country.
Yeah, but I.
And the second is my financial livelihood. And basically what he was going to say was, and I know you guys are going to hate me for this one, but he was talking about rolling back the tax breaks for those of us that make $200,000 or more a year.
But don't you on some level believe that paying a certain proportion of your taxes is important to maintain the infrastructure of the country, for Christ's sake?
It is, but the fact is that I feel that liberals at times penalize people for being successful.
Come on. Are
no,
you serious?
But now, Jason,
are you
know
with an
that,
Al Franken show?
No. You know that what these folks are actually doing is not penalizing, trying to penalize people for being successful. What Bush is actually doing is seeing to it that people who have made their money from investments rather than people who have made their money from the sweat off their brow are the ones that make out like bandits in this society.
No, you're absolutely right, but the fact is that, you know what, it's important to me and my family. I'm only 30 years old. I'm not that old.
So there's time to change.
And you know what, though? We can go back and forth, but the number one thing to me is security in this country, and I don't think that we need to. One of the things that really hurt John Kerry in my eyes and people that I know that I speak to is the fact of the global test. And the fact is that we need to secure the United States.
Oh, you mean actually, you know, being part of the global community and making decisions for the safety of the world?
Yeah, I don't care what other people think. We have to be concerned about ourselves.
So you're saying don't be diplomatic. So you're just trusting.
Do you care what France thinks about what we're doing?
Sure. On some level, I do. Thanks a lot, Jason. I appreciate it.
No, I mean, look, we can agree to disagree. This is a wide tent we have here.
No, but I think that's one of those weird, you know, talking point buttons about, you know, that the assumption that we would defer to another country.
He never said that. That's the other thing.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right.
Exactly.
All right. So let me get.
Yes. Well, you got the LAA. There it is.
Got to get out of the machine.
There you go.
Here's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Write these down. Have your town. This is one. Have your town make Fallujah a sister city. If they refuse, attack them with mortars. Two. Find out which wounded soldiers Bush visited. Have them commended for courage in the face of the enemy. That's a little cryptic, but I think you know what we're saying. Three, stop the recount effort. The recount effort. Gracefully conceived that Reagan really did beat Mondale in 1984. Four, celebrate John Ashcroft's resignation by ripping the drapery off the Statue of Justice and let the eagle soar. Yes. Five, phrase of the day. When Arafat dies, he should be buried in the state of Palestine. Well, that's right. The Palestinians don't have a state, man.
Man. Well, tomorrow we've got the Reverend James Forbes of the Riverside Church here in New York to talk about the future of religion and progressive politics. And Judy Gold, your good buddy, comes by.
Oh, good. I like her.
That's tomorrow here on Air America Radio. Have a good one, Maren.
You too, Riley.